corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Best news, I'm Peter King, live at the Kennedy Space Center. Shuttle Discovery's 4th of July launch could be on hold because of a piece of foam found on the launch pad after yesterday's scrub.
It's about 3 inches in length, it's triangular shaped, and it's about that thick. So it was a very small piece.
Deputy Program Manager John Shannon.
The obvious question is, well, gee, if this would have happened in flight and this piece of foam would have come off, would that have been an issue? And the answer is no, absolutely, it would not have been an issue.
But mission managers want to be sure bigger pieces won't come off and hit the shuttle after launch. They're also concerned about a crack which produced that small piece, worried that ice could form, break off, and damage the shuttle after liftoff. They've been working the issue all day. They'll meet in a half hour to decide if it needs a closer look, maybe a scrub. I'm Peter King at the Kennedy Space Center. Now with more CBS News, here's Lou Miliano.
A federal court in Charlotte, an Iraq war vet who served with the 101st Airborne. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula says a conviction of the charges against him can see the government this soldier was prepared to kill for, kill him.
Stephen Green faces rape and murder charges. The 21-year-old former Army PFC is accused of raiding an Iraqi home, raping and killing a young woman and several of her relatives. Other 101st Airborne soldiers may be charged. They were part of the same unit as two soldiers who were kidnapped and killed outside Baghdad last month. Green was recently discharged for what the Army calls a personality disorder.
Could it be the key to AIDS? Maybe. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman says UCLA researchers are today announcing the first transformation of human embryonic stem cells into mature T cells.
UCLA professor of medicine Jerome Zak is the co-author of the study.
It's the first time people have demonstrated that human embryonic stem cells can be converted into the type of cells that fight viruses.
Professor Zak says this could eventually help those suffering from AIDS and other ailments.
A disease that people know as bubble boy disease, in theory, could be treated with this type of an approach.
Professor Zak cautions this is just the first step, and he says
we're talking many, many years down the road before this could be used as a therapeutic.
Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Okay, so you smoke, you don't eat right, you drink too much, you're fat, and you don't exercise. A real candidate for heart disease. But you also take medication for high blood pressure and cholesterol, and you're cutting your chances, right? Sure. What researchers have determined is if you didn't do all of the bad stuff, you'd be at even less of a risk. But this study says by how much? 57%, they say, by also eating right, not smoking, drinking in moderation, and maintaining a healthy weight and exercising regularly. And this is interesting. This research published in the Journal of the American Heart Association says if you don't take the medications for your heart and for the cholesterol and do only the good stuff, maintaining a healthy lifestyle, you actually reduce your risk of heart ailments by 87%. This is CBS News.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
This is Dr. Drew Pinsky. Some of you may know me as Dr. Drew. Today's topic is men's sexual health. More specifically, performance problems. And we've got a brave guy on the line.
I don't know why I'm even calling, because it's not really an issue. It only happens every once in a while, like when I'm tired or stressed out, a little under the weather.
Just to guess, but are we talking about erectile dysfunction?
Oh, no, not ED. Just a very occasional little glitch. Yeah, I'd call it an erectile glitch.
Well, a lot of guys don't realize it, but ED may not happen all the time. It can be unpredictable.
Well, now you mention it, I never know when it's going to happen.
And that's something you want to live with?
Good point. I'll talk to my doctor.
To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit JustAskToday.com.
Trading closed 3 hours early on this, the eve of the 4th of July. The Dow gained 77, the Nasdaq up 18. So now you can do a little legwork and find out if that fellow up the street or the gal around the corner is some sort of a predator that you ought to know about. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambadaka says it's now all online and linked up.
When the Justice Department activated this nationwide search engine for sex offenders last year, 22 states had linked their sites to the federal government's. But as of July 1st, the National Sex Offender Public Registry, as it is called, includes all 50 states plus Washington, D.C. and Guam. You can search by city, by up to multiple zip codes, and by individual name to see if a sex offender has moved. The registries also include photos.
10 months after Hurricane Katrina devastated the Mississippi Gulf Coast, area officials say the beaches are making a comeback. Most shores in Harrison and Jackson counties are now open to beachgoers. I'm Lou Maligano, CBS News.
You can live truly debt-free on just the money you already make using my proven system. Let me send you a free tape today that shows you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it, no matter how much debt you have.
I'm completely debt-free now thanks to John Commuta.
Call now and I'll rush you my free tape. Call 1-800-933-1951. That's 1-800-933-1951. 1-800-933-1951.
Aflac for Small Business, how can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business, just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that?
Or go to AflacSB.com. Aflac for Small Business, because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
The following program has been previously recorded.
It's time to launch another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unscripted, unrehearsed from the left coast. We're live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Carmel by the Sea. We are all the way live and vivo on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And our program is heard in the nighttime on 1240 Talk City, KSAC Sacramento, and KPHX 1480, the new progressive talk station in Phoenix, Arizona. We've got a lot to talk about on the program today. About a half hour from now, Jim Dean will join us. That's Howard's brother, and he is the executive director of Democracy for America. They're supporting progressive challengers across the nation this year. We'll get the lowdown on that. Also, we're going to talk to Rui Teixeira. He's one of the co-founders of a new publication and website called TheDemocraticStrategist.com. We're going to find out what their focus is, what their mission is, and share that with you coming up next hour. Also on today's show, controversial investigative reporter Jason Leopold is not shrinking from his critics. There was a new critical piece in the Washington Post published over the weekend, and Jason will respond to that. Also on today's show, in our third hour, Melanie Sloan in her weekly visit with a conviction under her belt. She, of course, is fighting to reduce corruption in Washington at Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, or CREW. And the good news from her perspective is that David Savavian has been convicted in the Abramoff case, and Jack didn't even have to tip his fedora and come into the courtroom and testify. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And you can join the conversation at any time. Just pick up the phone and give us a call at 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll free at 1-888-579-2540. And before we get underway, a personal note. I'm dedicating this program today to Glenn Totten, my cousin from Sacramento, who lost his battle with lung cancer earlier today. It was his second struggle, 2 years this time. And he set a real standard for dignity in such a circumstance. Glenn meant a lot to me and will be sorely missed. If you work for an hourly wage, I would like to see you get a raise. And since less than 12% of American workers are represented by labor unions these days, many of us have to count on the generosity of highly paid political professionals in Washington, D.C. to get a raise, and I'm talking about the minimum wage. Joel Barkin is executive director of a great organization called Progressive States Network, and they are fighting on behalf of working people in this country to win a raise through the United States Congress. And Joel Barkin used to work for Bernie Sanders of Vermont. That's a great credential. Welcome, Joel.
Hey, Peter. Thanks very much.
Nice to have you on the program today.
Appreciate it.
I just have a hunch that you know my colleague Tom Hartman, who
I know Tom very well.
He has a weekly visit with Bernie Sanders, breakfast or brunch with Bernie every week.
That's right.
Yeah.
Fridays afternoons, I believe.
Uh-huh.
But I should correct you on one thing.
Okay.
We're actually working at the state level.
Okay.
Pushing various initiatives to raise wages, including
and there
the
is a debate
wage.
Underway in Washington right now, but of course mm-hmm. it's proceeding pretty slowly, isn't it?
Right. I mean, essentially, what's happening in Washington, and I had, as you mentioned, the great fortune to work for Bernie for many years in Washington on Capitol Hill, and this was an issue we worked very hard on. But the reality is that big moneyed interests control everything that goes on in Washington and have basically made any effort to raise the minimum wage just impossible. And that's why we've been focusing most of our efforts at Progressive States on moving it at the local and state levels, where there actually has been tremendous amounts of progress. Just last week, or maybe the week before, the California legislature approved an increase to the state's minimum wage to $7.75 an hour. The current federal minimum wage is $5.15, which is well below adjusted inflation. You know, you're talking about if inflation kept up, the minimum wage would be at around $9 an hour. I think it's $9.15 or something along there.
Mm-hmm.
And as it stands, it's $5.15, which is just an abomination.
And if somebody works 40 hours at $5.15, do they surpass what we call the poverty level in this country?
Right. They are technically fall under the poverty line.
Mm-hmm. Where is poverty in this country, you know, statistically? What is the standard today?
What percentage?
No, what annual income?
I think it's under 13,000.
Mm-hmm.
Just under 13,000. And, you know, of course, healthcare costs are way up. Gasoline prices are way up. Every other thing is price. Costs in our lives are increasing, and wages are actually decreasing.
Yeah, but the tax cuts really haven't trickled all the way down yet, Joe.
That's right. As you know, the majority of the tax cuts have been going to the richest 1% of Americans, while our Congress can't even figure out how to raise the minimum wage to a living. You know, living wage level. But there is hope on this issue. And I don't want your listeners to be totally discouraged, because what we've seen in states, both quote-unquote red and blue, it has been a lot of action on this issue, because at the end of the day, these states do have a greater responsibility for their citizens. So in addition to California, Massachusetts is poised to raise their minimum wage to $8.25 per hour, which would be the highest state minimum wage in the country. San Francisco now has a minimum wage of $8.82 an hour, and there are a number of different efforts going around the country also at the state level to raise the minimum wage. But then there's a whole other set of issues that I think are important for us to talk about, and that's, you know, how do you look beyond the minimum wage and look at different ways state leaders can promote innovative new policies to raise wages. I'll give you an example.
Yeah, what are the options besides the minimum wage itself?
I think one of the more innovative things I've seen lately is out of Idaho. And Idaho is not known as one of the more progressive states in the country, but they recently began requiring that businesses receiving workforce development training funds create jobs paying at least $12 an hour in benefits. So what that means is in Idaho, if you're receiving state workforce development money, taxpayer money, then the jobs you create must pay at least $12 an hour plus benefits. And Maryland and California both recently saw passages of state wage, statewide living wage laws that have required all government contractors to pay a living wage. So all the government contracts that are being put out by the Maryland and California state legislatures, and the governors, they have to pay a certain wage. And we've seen similar efforts elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I can go on and on. I mean, I think one of the important issues is making sure we give workers a hand in negotiations. And that's certainly a huge issue, making sure that workers' rights are represented through negotiations. In New York, we recently saw a bill sponsored by one of our board members that extended union protections to daycare workers. I mean, this is going to create, 25,000 new labor union workers in the state of New York. Colorado legislature recently passed a bill prohibiting employers who are requiring employee attendance at religious and political meetings. Making sure that we give our workers certain basic protections.
We're talking with Joel Barkin, executive director of the Progressive States Network, and he is spearheading an effort. Looks like I'm looking at the map here on your website, Joel, about 18 states and the District of Columbia where there are current efforts to raise the minimum wage?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you pointed out some of the bright spots. What are a couple of the real difficult spots? I see Louisiana on here, and Bush kind of suspended the minimum wage during the post-Katrina cleanup.
Right. And, there have been a number of conservative governors. You look at Mitch Daniels in Indiana, who was the former Bush administration
budget director,
right. Who has worked very hard against this initiative. But what's interesting about this issue is when you look at polling and you talk to even conservative legislators, this is not. I mean, the right has lost this issue. I mean, there is a consensus that people think the minimum wage should be higher. And it just shows you how disconnected Washington is from this debate, and that they won't even allow, the Republican Congress won't even allow it to come up because they know it's a loser for them. And one of the constituencies we've seen pushing for higher wages has been the religious community.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been very active in advocating for a higher minimum wage, both at the federal and the state level.
Joel, we got to take a break, and we'll return in just a moment. Talk more about the fight to raise the minimum wage across the country. If you have a question or comment, there's room for your call. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll free from anywhere in the continental U.S., 1-888-579-2540. 17 minutes past the hour, this is the Peter B. Collins Show. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Concern about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay area such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Minutes past the hour. It's the Peter B. Collins Show as we continue with Joel Barkin from Progressive States Network. They're on the web at progressivestates.org. And you can link at the website to a list of outrageous facts about the minimum wage in America. It's been 9 years since minimum wage workers got a raise to $5.15. And in the interim, Congress has given itself 9 raises. And Joel, they're up to about $175,000 a year now in Congress. Is that right?
I think it's a little bit less than that.
Yeah, but, in the 160 range?
I think it's right around 160, and I think leadership makes closer to 170.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're close. And you're right. I mean, every year they give themselves a raise, and they always tie it into a bill mm-hmm. when they do vote to give themselves raises.
Yeah, the Cleaner Toilets and Congressional Raise Act of 2006.
Right, so that it's hidden, and they're not actually voting on it. So,
right. And to what extent has the average American family taken a pay cut since Bush went into office? I mean, here in California, we've had huge increases in state education
right.
costs at the university and college system, while
right.
our governor maintains that, you know, he hasn't raised taxes. It's technically
mm-hmm.
true. But the cost of family life in California has gone up. We have the increased cost in gasoline, which disproportionately impacts hourly workers. People have to
right.
drive long distances to their jobs.
Right.
And then, of course, we have the big spike in health insurance and health care costs. So
right.
the average American family is really straining
absolutely.
To cope. Go ahead.
You know, wages are way down under this administration. Bottom line is people are working longer hours today for lower wages with less benefits. And we hear a lot in the media, the elite media, as I like to call it, about, oh, how the economy's humming and how, you know, their indicators and, say things are good and the Fed says things are good. Yet, meanwhile, when you talk to real people and you see polling amongst the general population, it's that there is a real insecurity with what's happening in the economy right now. They see their jobs being shipped overseas. They see their wages being cut. They see their health care prices going up, and the federal government doing nothing about it. But you know, we argue over here at Progressive States that, you know, for real action, progressive action, you know, we should be looking more towards the states. And mm-hmm. even in our Republican states, with Republican governors or quote-unquote red states, there's room for progressive change. And it's one of the things I talk a lot about when I'm speaking to various groups, because I know how frustrated people are right now with the federal government and with the Tom DeLays and Denny Hastert's and George Bush's. But we need to take that energy and not give up, but rather focus it on where we can and actually do have power. And that's in our states. You know, we have legislatures, we have governors, and if we can pass enough pieces of legislation in various states all in the same time, we can create a real national movement, and we don't need to sit back and wait for Washington to act.
Joel, what's the connection between Progressive States and the AFL-CIO? From Progressive States' website, I jumped over to the AFL-CIO.
Uh-huh.
What is the connection?
We work closely with the AFL-CIO. They are on our board of directors, mm-hmm. as well as a number of other grassroots organizations like MoveOn.org, mm-hmm. Center for American Progress, and state legislators from all over the country. And mm-hmm. And basically, over the last few decades, what we've seen are corporation and right-wing allies dominating state politics, pouring in tens of millions of dollars and using a combination of financial power and cynical wedge issues to encourage division and basically cynicism among the general population. And our goal is to rebuild a culture of engaged citizens mobilized to hold both corporate and government institutions accountable. We're doing this by building a real broad-based alliance between progressive groups, by focusing on a sort of core set of issues of protecting the environment, supporting working families, investing for a sustainable economy, and increasing democratic rights. But understanding that if you are interested in the environment as an activist, and that is your key issue, well, then it's, you know, your other key issues should also include these other things as well. You know, you should be worried about what the minimum wage is. You should be worried about increasing democratic rights. And
well, and,
all
and the reason,
the same agenda.
Joel, the reason I brought up AFL-CIO is I'm a proud union member, and we're affiliated with AFL-CIO. Been
excellent.
In the union for over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm pleased to see is that organized labor recognizes that people
right.
who are not covered by union contracts need their support. And also, indirectly, this is in the best interests of people who are working under union contracts. Because when the gap between the minimum wage and union wages continues to grow, that
right.
puts a lot of pressure on employers to bust unions,
yep.
hire illegals, and do everything possible to keep their wage costs down. And I also believe that this is an important effort in reducing the illegal hiring of undocumented Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, as long as people can get away with low wages, they're going to do whatever they can get away with to achieve that.
That's absolutely right. You know, particularly with immigration, you know, one of the things that AFL has been very good about, and one of the things that we've been talking about is, you know, we need to be focusing on the employers, you know, the ones who are breaking the law.
Well, and I just read an item today. I don't have it right here in front of me, but the number of employer investigations last year was 4
right.
nationwide.
Right.
And that's just inexcusable. And for these right-wingers to thump their breasts and, you know, talk about the border when we don't even enforce the laws that are on the books today, it's just shameless. Joel, I want to thank you for joining us today. Visit the website progressivestates.org to learn more about the state-by-state battle to improve the minimum wage. Thank you, Joel.
Take
Coming
care.
Up next, Jim Dean will join us from Democracy for America.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley with Talking Matters on KRXA 540 every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. We choose topics that touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. You've heard what Oprah said about using intention to change your life, how celebrities like George Clooney, Brad Pitt, and Angelina Jolie are spotlighting important global issues we need to care about. We've had programs on the great art of storytelling and how best to love your pets. Listen to all our shows archived on my website, joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. You can also download them to your favorite MP3 player. We love to bring you programs that are truly meaningful, subjects that keep you thinking, feeling, knowing, and growing. My books, Voice Power and Whose Body Is It Anyway, can be found at Amazon.com. So keep listening. We'll keep talking. Don't miss my show, Joan Kenley's Talking Matters, every Saturday at 3.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues live from the left coast. I'm your humble host, Peter B. In the next hour, two looks at the future of the Democratic Party. Reed Teixeira from the Democratic Strategist will join us next hour. Jim Dean is up next. But first, let's take a look at the other side.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know we're really bored. People say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections. Run the country into the ground.
Would somebody please change the regime? Jim Dean is the executive director and chair of Democracy for America. Jim, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure. Nice to talk with you. And just for clarification, you're not the sausage guy, right?
I'm not the sausage guy. No relation. I'm actually the chair, and we actually have a very terrific executive director, Tom Hughes.
Mm-hmm. And also, you didn't do that Big Bad John song in 1960?
No, I didn't.
And are you really Howard Dean's brother?
Yeah, I'm his younger brother.
Oh, that's great. Well, it's nice to clarify that and keep you out of the sausage and recording artist business.
Yeah.
Well, I was struck by your organization because yesterday I got an email urging me to go to your website to support the candidacy of Nancy Skinner, who is running for Congress in Detroit. And I know Nancy because she's a radio talk show host. And she ran for the Senate in Illinois a couple of years ago. So tell us a little bit about what your focus is on helping progressive challengers get elected in this midterm year.
Okay. Well, first, just to back up a second, you know, we're an organization that's really fueled by about 650 groups around the country in 49 states who are very politically active. Most of them came out of Howard's campaign, but they've kept the political activism up. There are about 38 or 40 of them in California, and they tell us, you know, which candidates we should be supporting. And what we try to do is, if they're a group is working for a candidate, say as the groups around San Diego did for Francine Busby, we try to send out national messaging to help raise a few bucks and get some more volunteers for campaigns like that. Most of these races are local races or down ballot races, state legislature. We're supporting Deborah Bowen, for example, for Secretary of State.
Are we? she's great.
She's terrific. And one of the things that we're doing now is sort of having a grassroots all-star vote, and that's where you got the email for Nancy Skinner. She's part of that.
What was totally cool?
Yeah.
You used instant runoff voting in this web poll.
Yeah.
And just yesterday we were talking with a voter activist about IRV and the benefits that it offers. So I just thought that was really neat because I had just participated in that similar process.
Well, I think it's it's definitely a workable deal. It's worked up here in Burlington, Vermont, in the mayoral race and some of the local elections here, and I think instant runoff voting is part of the future of clean elections.
Well, I certainly agree. Now, let's talk a little bit about the grassroots campaign that you have underway. Mm-hmm. And according to the current results posted on your website, Nancy Skinner is number one in the running. And another guy who we focused on our program, Jerry McNerney, who is challenging the despicable Richard Pombo in California District 11, he's currently ranked number three. Now, these guys aren't going to be invited on American Idol, are they?
No. We don't do anything like that. We certainly don't want to suck up too much of the candidate's time. We just do it because we want to get people excited about these races and get them involved. We're going to send some money to the winners, and we're also going to, continue to support other federal races. This isn't the only thing that we're going to be doing for the federal races this year, but it's just a way for us to get people in our community to thinking about who to run for and thinking about who to support, rather.
Right.
And generate some excitement. I mean, it's the summertime, but no time is better than the present to get people involved with some of these candidates. They're terrific.
Jim Dean with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, Jim, tell me how effective it is for people to leave a district that is fairly safe for Democrats or progressives to go into another district and campaign. There was kind of mixed reaction to that in 2004. Mm-hmm. A lot of Californians, for example, went over to Nevada to try to twist a few arms, knock on a few doors, and persuade a few people. And it seems that sometimes the interlopers don't really get a good connection with people. A neighbor-to-neighbor approach, local-to-local, seems to work best.
Well, I certainly would agree with that. I think we heard some of that about Californians and Nevada. Of course, we heard in Howard's campaign about lots of people coming from all over the country to be in Iowa. And it's very clear, and I talk about this a lot, that the most important thing that people can do is really to talk to their family, friends, and neighbors. But, you know, I'm not against folks coming in and helping to door knock. I think it's very, very important that the voters be personally presented with a choice. And in so many of these areas, they haven't known that choice for a long time. And I think, you know, that person-to-person contact is extremely important. If you can do it locally, it's even better. You know, I used to be in the market research business, and we always knew that familiarity was the biggest driver of brand equity. But that familiarity really has to come from person-to-person contact. And I think we're way beyond the point where we can just televise our way to victory in many of these races. You got to get out there and you got to talk to the voters personally. You got to present them with a choice and give them some information so that they can make an informed decision. And again, to your point, yes, it's much better if you do it. If you're able to say, hey, I live down the street and I'm helping this person who's running for office, I think that's much more effective. But either way, it's got to get done.
Mm-hmm. Jim Dean is with us. It's Democracy for America is the name of the organization. They're on the web at democracyforamerica.com if you'd like to drop in and visit their website. Now, how do you work this out, given that your brother is the chair of the Democratic National Committee?
Mm-hmm.
And let me just give you one example. Here in California, many of us were energized when Marcy Winograd challenged Jane Harmon.
Yeah,
and
she was
candidate. Yeah, there are a lot of progressives who feel it's important to send a message to people like Congresswoman Harmon who support the administration on wiretapping and spying and the war in Iraq and far too many issues, that it's important to send them a message that the party is not sitting still for, you know, this kind of straddling or triangulation. But does that cause problems for Dr. Governor Dean when he hears from Jane Harmon who says, you expect me to put money into the DNC when your brother's out there trying to sink me?
Well, the fact of the matter is their the legal status is that we just don't coordinate at all. And that's one thing, and that's very important, and that's something that we pay very, very strict attention to. The second part is that this is a grassroots-driven organization, and I know that Howard understands this, and anybody who goes into our website will understand it, that, you know, the support that we lend to candidates is driven by the people in our community on the ground who want to see these candidates get elected. So when six or so groups in Connecticut are calling us saying, we really want you to support Ned Lamont because he's a terrific candidate and we need someone who's going to stand up for real democratic values, even if it means running against Senator Lieberman, that's when we go in and do those things. And, you know, we're just a separate organization that does our things our way. And I know the DNC is involved in trying to make our party a 50-state party, which I think is terrific.
And how many times a week does your
candidates or anything like that?
How many times a week does your brother have to field a phone call from Senator Lieberman saying, "What are they doing to me now, Howard?"
Well, actually, we haven't discussed any of this for a very, very long time. So, to be honest with you, I don't know how much how many phone calls he gets about it. But you know, he's on a different mission. I mean, he spends most of his time, I know, traveling around the country, trying to help state parties become more effective. So I don't think he's in Washington too much to take those calls to begin with.
Yeah, he's been doing a great job in terms of communications, the interviews that he does, and presenting a strong face for the Democratic Party. I really appreciate his assertiveness, and I heard him that there was a little trap that Campbell Brown laid for him on the Today Show one day last week. She, you know, fed him a quote from Steny Hoyer, who is, you know, refers to the MRTHA plan as precipitous withdrawal, and referred to Nancy Pelosi's support for the MRTHA plan, and said, "Well, you've got a divided party," and he shot back, "Oh no," and I just think he really is not thrown off by the little sneaky traps that media people lay for him.
Well, he's probably used to a lot of that from his campaign, but you know, on this point in particular, it really kind of gets me. You know, we've seen Democrats come out now and are starting to come out in strong numbers for a real serious plan for getting our troops home. And, you know, when I see that and I see this as a party that's, you know, doesn't have the House, it doesn't have the Senate, doesn't have the White House, and yet they're taking a leadership position on this debate, and I think that's very admirable of them, you know, whether it's Jack MRTHA or John Kerry. And I think, unfortunately, the mainstream media is really just all they're focusing on is whether they disagree on the number of troops to be withdrawn or what the timetable is. And I think that's really, you know, it's pretty petty stuff. I really appreciate the fact that so many people are starting to really stand up for getting our troops home.
We're talking with Jim Dean here. Democracy for America is the organization. DemocracyForAmerica.com is their website. And we respect our elders here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Alice joins us from Humboldt. Good afternoon, Alice.
Hello, Jim.
Hey, Alice, how you doing?
I know that your brother knows just how much of a problem these voting machines can be.
Yep.
Why are not the Democrats shouting about this?
Well,
if Democrats were using crooked voting machines, you can be sure we would be...
You got it, Alice.
Yeah,
you know, if Democrats used one crooked voting machine, every Democrat who won an election would be challenged. Jim?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. And, you know, I can't speak for the DNC. Again, it's a separate organization, and we don't really talk about any of this stuff between each other. But I do know I get this questions about this all the time everywhere I go. And I think a lot of things, the good things that are happening out there is when communities, whether it's DFA or other communities, are taking the lead in their own districts to fix these machines. And, you know, we were very pleased to be involved with the Reform Ohio ballot initiative last year. And we've managed to do some messaging when there, you know, there are local issues that are coming up with these machines, because that's where a lot of this stuff is going on. And we're trying to be as supportive as we can. You know, I think I can say this for a lot of groups. You know, it's a pretty full plate out there. You want to get your candidates elected to office. You want to get people with real democratic values elected into office. And you've got to manage the situation where, you know, the Republicans are trying to purge the voting rolls before elections and all of this technology that's not working. So, you know, a lot of this has to do with, I think, a full plate. But I think for Democracy for America, where we're trying to do stuff on this issue is locally, and trying to help and get people involved and get people to call their legislatures when the secretaries of state are making unilateral decisions, as they have been in California, to try to get them involved in this thing, and also to help support candidates like Deborah Bowen, who really are committed to fixing this whole problem.
Yeah, well, Bowen does really get it.
Yeah, she sure does.
We got to take a break. Thank you for your call, Alice. Jim will be back in just a moment. Jim Dean is our guest. Democracy for America is his organization. And there's room for your call if you have a question or comment. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast. Or call us toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m.
treats herself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented us from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 10 minutes from the top of the hour. We continue our conversation with Jim Dean. He's the chair of Democracy for America, and they are supporting progressive challengers all across the country this year. And Jim joins us from the Green Mountain State, where some of my roots are. My grandfather had a house on South Union Street there in Burlington, Jim.
Oh, wow.
I spent a few summers on Mallet's Bay, a beautiful part of Lake Champlain there.
Oh, it sure is. It's beautiful there, and I actually did some kayaking there about 5 years ago, but I haven't had a lot of time for that lately.
Yeah? Do you live on the lake?
No, I actually live in Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
And I come up here during the week, and then I usually travel on the weekends because that's when we're doing most of our trainings and most of our candidate support, or at least public visibility candidate support.
Yeah, great. Jim, I want to come back to the point that Alice made about the integrity of our elections.
Yep.
There are many people who have reviewed the situation in District 50, the Busby-Bilbray race, and are not satisfied. Progressive Democrats of America have said that they are unconvinced by the outcome. And we have a regular segment on this show with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, who focuses on voting machines and voter integrity. And when you look at what happened in San Diego, it stinks. Those electronic voting machines were out and unsecured for 48 hours to a week.
Yep.
In the hands of, you know, these part-time election officials. And that is a clear violation of the security protocols. And from there, you can go into deeper issues about potentials for hacking. But in a race where only 4,700 votes divided Busby and Bilbray,
yep.
shouldn't the Democratic Party have stood and fought and waited for a certified vote? And shouldn't the Republicans have waited to swear in Bilbray until the vote was certified?
Well, my understanding about the swearing-in part is that, you know, that does not preclude the vote from still being questioned or challenged. And, you know, my focus has been is, you know, my concern is I'm not sure what the campaign wants to do about this. And the reason I'm concerned about that is because, you know, I think Francine's going to be running again in November.
She is. She won the Democratic primary for a two-year term that will be decided in November.
And I know our, you know, some of the folks that I've talked to around San Diego are, you know, it's not, there's a little bit of conflict here because they you know, they want to still keep this fight going. And so there's a little bit of an issue about where they devote their resources. Do they devote their resources at this recount? And this is a little bit like the problem I was discussing earlier. Do you vote your resources and your valuable time on the recount, or do you need to move forward and try to get this thing done in November? And that's a conflict. I mean, I think it's a conflict for every person in this country who wants to change it. It's where do they spend their valuable time? We all have jobs. We all have families we have to take care of or loved ones. And that's a tough situation.
We now have the situation. I'm from Ohio. My grandfather was from Vermont, but I grew up in Ohio.
Yep.
And I'm ashamed at what happened there in 2004. And I'm so disappointed that John Kerry and the Democratic Party, even though they had set aside funds for post-election issues, really didn't stand up and fight. We have to thank the Libertarians and the Greens for pressing for the limited recount that occurred. Now we have Robert F. Kennedy Jr., to his credit, doing a deep analysis. The
lengthy article he published in Rolling Stone.
Mm-hmm.
And at the Take Back America conference in Washington last week, I was so delighted to hear Jan Schakowsky, who, by the way, a congressman from Chicago, will be on our program in the first hour tomorrow. She made an explicit endorsement of RFK Jr.'s findings in Ohio, said she thinks the election was stolen, and she's trying to get the DCCC to issue a kind of alert to Democrats across the country to be vigilant about these issues.
Right.
I think that's the least we can do. And I'm not trying to replay the 2004 election. You know, I accept that that's water under the bridge. But we have to make sure that they don't do it to us again, Jim.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, there are a lot of groups that are sort of, you know, thinking about different ways to handle this. And there's two things right now that I think we really need to be focused on. One is what's going on with the voter rolls. I mean, are the lists being purged, and who's doing it, and how is it being done, and who's taking part of the process? And that's something that goes on at, you know, you could say it's possible it could go on in almost any of the 13,000 voting districts around the country. The second thing is that if you're someone who is not either willing or able to perform get-out-the-vote functions over the next, you know, during the November elections, think about going to work the polls. This is a good thing to do. It's a long day, but there's plenty of usually coffee and refreshments there. You get paid a little bit of money, and you're going to be there as a voice and as a person who will help ensure that there's going to be an honest, you know, an honest process in the voting. And those are two things you can think about doing right now, but these are the things that we're trying to sort through at. Where are we going to get people to spend their valuable time?
Jim, what about what about the turnout in the Senate race in Virginia last week? 3.5%. What the hell is going on there?
Well, probably a little bit of election fatigue. Seems that they had a huge race in November. But nonetheless, you know, I got to tell you something. I wasn't even that impressed with a 60% turnout in the 2004 presidential elections, Peter. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're a country that's supposedly at war against terrorism. We got all this stuff going on. We have the worst president, at least in my time, that's ever been, you know, sat in the White House. And, you know, the fact that 40% of the electorate stayed at home then was scary. And I'm very, very concerned about that right now. And I'm concerned about people who are just, you know, saying they're burned out. Well, it doesn't take too much to go to the polls and vote. You could say it's even a national security issue. I mean, if you want to do something, you know, to really help this country's national security, you need to show the rest of the world, number one, that we really care about what's going on here. And I think that's really important. And there's some big, great races going on, outstanding races in Connecticut. We have an opportunity to decide what the course of the Democratic Party is going to be in the Ned Lamont versus Joe Lieberman race. Ned Lamont is a fantastic candidate.
I met him last week. Very impressed.
Yeah, he's going to make a great senator, and people really need to go to the polls. And it may be an August 8th primary in the middle of the summer, but there's plenty of absentee ballots to go around, and people can vote.
Let's talk to Joe in Monterey. Joe, join us with Jim Dean here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering if he knew one of the first times I heard about the vote shifting thing was right after the election when Howard Dean and a woman, I forget her name, she was a computer expert.
Bev Harris, Black Box Voting on MSNBC.
Yeah, they road tested a machine.
Governor Dean was co-hosting or maybe it was a test drive or something like that. And
right.
It was a very impressive situation.
Right.
Jim?
She did a backdoor entry and shifted the votes.
Yeah, Jim, your comment?
Yeah, you know, my feeling about this is, and I got to hand it to everybody out there, and yourselves included, and Joe and Peter yourself, who have really been making this a mainstream issue. This is where the voting machine thing becomes a mainstream issue, because it is the competency of all of this that is really failing. You know, we have a great Secretary of State in Connecticut, and she was supposed to test a new set of machines under HAVA and all of that stuff. 40% of them failed the test. And she said, we're going to keep it the same way until we find something that really works. And she knew that she had the backing and the implicit backing of the voters in Connecticut who demand competency.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting to see Florida coming around on this thing, and it's getting beyond partisanship.
Jim, we're going to keep the pressure on. I'm out of time today, but I want you to come back on the show. Really enjoyed talking with you.
Peter, I appreciate it. I'd love to come back anytime.
Jim Dean, democracyforamerica.com. Visit their website. Support progressive challengers this year. I'm Peter B. Collins. Hi, this is...
The program you have just enjoyed is a previously recorded broadcast.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Is the shuttle discovery grounded?
No one has come to any conclusions yet.
And a former soldier is accused of a brutal crime in Iraq.
According to the arrest warrant, former 101st Airborne PFC Stephen D. Green was the ringleader and chief executioner.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Cammie McCormick. Will it fly? NASA's discussing whether to put off the launch of the shuttle Discovery again after discovering some missing insulation on the space shuttle. CBS News correspondent Peter King joins us live.
Cammie, they're less concerned about a crack in the small piece of foam that fell off the fuel tank.
It is less than half the size that we think can cause damage to the orbiter.
They're more concerned about whether bigger pieces of foam or even ice could break off and damage Discovery. Deputy Program Manager John Shannon leads the mission management team, which is meeting now to discuss that hard-to-reach area of the tank.
Are we good from a technical standpoint to go fly, or are we not? And if we are not, we will go get the data to get comfortable with that.
We'll know tonight if the countdown clock will start up again for tomorrow's launch. Live at the Kennedy Space Center, Peter King, CBS News.
Now this.
Dad, this is my boyfriend, Scott.
So, where are you from, Scott?
Seattle.
Any brothers, sisters?
One brother.
How's your driving record?
Good.
Ever been arrested?
Huh?
Serve in the military?
Sir?
Do you have any diseases?
Dad!
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Any sports injuries?
No. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Hey, let's go to my house for an Ovaltine milkshake.
I love chocolate Ovaltine shakes.
Let's go!
Isn't it snack time for the kids?
Let's make them Ovaltine milkshakes.
I'll get out the ice cream and milk.
And I'll get the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Hey, this is Mama's making Ovaltine shake.
Yes, I love her Ovaltine shake.
Yeah!
Now I'll add the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
And I'll get the glasses.
Mom, we're home!
Who wants an Ovaltine shake?
I do!
I guess we better make more.
More Ovaltine shakes, please.
A former soldier is being held without bond in North Carolina, accused of raping an Iraqi woman and killing her and three of her relatives. CBS News correspondent Jim Stewart reports he's a soldier who had been discharged from the 101st Airborne because of a personality disorder.
According to investigators, the incident took place near a U.S. manned checkpoint outside the village of Mamoudiya, an area of heavy fighting. Green and three other soldiers allegedly entered a private house after a night of drinking. While the others held a 25-year-old Iraqi woman in the front room, Green took an Iraqi man, a woman, and 5-year-old girl into a back bedroom and closed the door. Shots were fired. "I just killed them. All are dead," Green allegedly told his buddies. Green then allegedly raped the younger Iraqi woman before shooting her at least twice in the head and setting fire to the body.
Four other soldiers are in custody in Iraq. Some entertainers and noted anti-war activists are beginning a hunger strike to protest the U.S. military presence in Iraq. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive is live with that.
Sean Penn not here, fasting at home. More than 3,000 say they'll skip meals until troops come home. A symbolic last dinner on a long pink tablecloth took place in front of the White House fence with anti-war and anti-Bush slogans.
And we represent millions of Americans who say you do not have our consent to govern us anymore.
Cindy Sheehan planning to move this vigil to Crawford, Texas to follow President Bush again next month. Live in Washington, Dan Revive, CBS News.
Israel's facing a Tuesday deadline by militants to release Palestinian prisoners or they may kill an Israeli soldier. Sheila McVicker has the very latest from Gaza, where it appears the Israeli military is again putting on a show of force.
Israeli military on the move again tonight. Just a few moments ago, another missile strike just a few blocks from here in central Gaza, hitting at the Islamic University. Israeli tanks on the move in northern Gaza Strip. And a new word from Hamas tonight as that deadline ticks down, asking for more diplomacy.
The Israeli soldier was seized in a raid on an Israeli army post on June 25th. It'll be easier now to check whether sex offenders live in your neighborhood. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambadakis tells us about a nationwide effort to track offenders online at www.nsopr.gov. When the Justice Department activated this nationwide search engine for sex offenders last year, 22 states had linked their sites to the federal government's. But as of July 1st, the National Sex Offender Public Registry, as it is called, includes all 50 states plus Washington, D.C. and Guam. You can search by city, by up to multiple zip codes, and by individual name to see if a sex offender has moved. The registries also include photos.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hello and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Orkin Man, I'm president of the Science Fiction Club.
Oh, fantastic.
We are armed and ready for the invasion.
Okay, now just be careful. Invaders, like roaches, can carry germs and diseases.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if only I had a Silurian photon blaster.
I know, but at Orkin, we prefer baits with gels. We've been fighting invasions for over 100 years.
Oh, wait till I tell the other warlords.
Just teleport carefully.
Protect your home, protect your family. Orkin can help. Call 1-800-ORKIN-MAN.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject most guys would rather ignore, erectile dysfunction. Believe it or not, nearly half of all guys over 40, and some even younger, have ED. If your sex life leaves something to be desired, even part of the time, do something about it. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com. Do it for you and your partner.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
The following program has been previously recorded.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. You can tell it's live, unrehearsed, unscripted, coming to you from the left coast of these United States. On the program today, we're going to talk about a scorecard for Congress according to middle-class issues. Coming up in half an hour, Andrea Batista Schlesinger will join us, Executive Director of the Drum Major Institute. Also going to talk about AT&T revising its privacy policy. That's right, one of America's biggest phone companies is trying to jam a new policy on its customers, allowing them the unfettered right to share your phone records with the government. Also on today's show, Larissa Alexandrovna, the Raw Story investigative reporter. She'll update us on the situation in Iran and President Bush's reception in Vienna, where he met with some of our European allies earlier today. That's all ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're welcome to join us whenever the urge strikes you to join the conversation. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or call me toll-free at 888-579-2540. To kick off the show, we welcome Progressive Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, Democrat from Illinois, who represents Evanston, where I used to live. Hello, Congresswoman.
Hi, Peter.
Thank you for joining us today. I enjoyed meeting you in Washington last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I only regret that we had an interview before you gave your powerful speech to the Take Back America conference.
Oh, thanks.
It was terrific, and I can't tell you how delighted and pleased I was to hear a Democratic leader like you acknowledge the significant issues about voting integrity in this country.
I actually apologize for not taking seriously enough the allegations that the 2004 election was stolen. I think there seemed to be a lot of pressure at the time to kind of get over it and move on and you know, look forward. But I'll tell you, and I'm sorry to say that, you know, even though constituents came to me, it was Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s article in Rolling Stone, was the 2004 election stolen, that I just found it impossible after reading that to conclude anything other than yes. It was.
Well, on behalf of people, and I'm not alone, but I am one voice who has been speaking repeatedly about these issues, I very much appreciate the acknowledgement, and the apology really isn't necessary from you individually, but I appreciate it, you know, that Democrat leaders are understanding the depth of the issue, and that this is tied to a number of other issues, that we've seen incredibly low turnout, only 30% in California for our primary, and only 3.5% in Virginia for the contested Senate primary that was focused on the issues of the war in Iraq. And I believe that part of that is that there are people who believe that if an election is close, that their vote actually won't count because it could be hijacked.
Well, I think that certainly is possible, and the Republicans, we're hearing talk right now that there is an effort to diminish the vote even more, to make everyone prove their citizenship when they vote. Imagine having to walk around with your birth certificate, although the truth is what that means is that anybody of color who speaks with an accent or a little bit, you know, slightly brown skinned or a certain last name will, you know, be quizzed about their citizenship and have to bring all that documentation, other proposals that you have to have, a picture ID when you actually go to vote. These are all voter suppression techniques that they seem to want to employ.
Well, and the way I've described the Ohio 2004 election is that the Republicans used every available method to game or manipulate the outcome. And some of it had to do with sending messages to ex-felons or people who had names similar to ex-felons, going to, you know, installing precinct walkers or watchers who were there to try to discourage people from voting. We know about the assignment of the voting machines. Not enough went into the precincts that were likely to vote Democratic. And those methods don't appear to be on their face illegal. I consider them undemocratic and unethical. But I also believe
that Republicans...
And also
they added up to, according to this article, if you put all those things that you mentioned together, about 357,000 Ohio voters who were prevented from casting their ballots or didn't have their votes counted, and that's more than enough to shift the results.
Indeed it is. And so when we look at this, Congresswoman Schakowsky, I know that there are many people who say that there are these whining blogger conspiracy theorists who can't get over Ohio in 2004.
Yeah.
Well, I was born and raised in Ohio, and I'm ashamed about what occurred there, but I believe I'm over it. What I want to do is make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Right. I mean, I think what we need right now is a major coordinated effort where we have experts, election lawyers, technology experts who go into every swing district and every swing state. I mean, Ohio is really ground zero in terms of the Senate and the House races. There's an important gubernatorial race, too. We send those experts in right now to assess the machines, the ballots, the registration process, every aspect of the election. Who are the election authorities in those particular districts? What are the rules? What, you know, all that. Now, in a very systematic, a very calm way, well, we go in and we're able right now to flag those areas where there may be a problem and address it. And if it takes a lawsuit or if it takes some sort of a protest, whatever it is, you know, redoing the ballots, throwing out the machines, whatever it is, that rather than waiting until November 8th to, you know, what's that? The president couldn't get it right either. What is it? Fool me once, shame
right.
on,
shame
you know.
On you.
Well, you know, it seems like it has been fool me twice, shame on me. That maybe we have, it seems as if we have two times now. Really mess this up.
Well, here in California, we are still concerned about District 50, the special election to replace Duke Cunningham. It was very close, 4,732 votes the morning after, separated Brian Bilbray, the named winner, from Francine Busby. And at the time that she conceded, there were 60,000 uncounted votes in San Diego County.
Really?
And since then, we've learned that many of the machines were outside of secure custody. They were given to election workers to take home, drive around in their cars, sit in a garage, or maybe even attempt to play video games on. But they were not secured by the registrar for the period directly before the election. And I don't have confidence in that outcome. I'm not as close as Francine Busby is to the situation, but I wish she would stand and fight, not concede, until that election is finally certified.
You know, I do think that when the shoe is on the other foot, what we have found is that the Republicans don't give ground, not an inch. And I really think we have to take a lesson from that.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I fully agree with that. And, you know, the other high point, there were two other high points of the Take Back America conference, your Senator Barack Obama's speech, and also John Kerry's remarkable speech, where he gave the clearest position I've ever heard from him on the war in Iraq. I'm still waiting for a clear position from Senator Kerry on what happened to him in 2004. We know Mark Crispin Miller met him at a party, and he reports that Senator Kerry acknowledged at that point that the election was stolen from him. But publicly, he's not willing to go that far.
Well, I'm awfully glad, at least, though, that on the issue of the war, that Senator Kerry has become clear on this. You know, I'm looking at the cover of the American Prospect magazine.
Mm-hmm.
It says $1.27 trillion. That's $1 million a day for 3,487 years. That's what we're spending on Iraq. Imagine that. And what they say inside is $1 million a day from the day Moses walked out of Egypt until now.
Well, going forward, Congresswoman, it is the Bush birth tax. They're trying to get rid of the death tax, and they're replacing it with the Bush birth tax, which is the deficit that will be going forward.
Well,
and
currently about $30,000 every man, woman, and child. I mean, every baby that's born now is carrying that burden,
mm-hmm.
but it's growing by the minute.
And the real war tax is now being paid at the pump.
Partly at the pump, and that's only one way that we're paying for it, yeah.
You're right. Let's take a phone call. Dave's on the line for Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky from Chicago. Welcome, Dave.
Well, thank you, Peter. And my gosh, I can't tell you how happy I am to be hearing a member of Congress saying what you were saying. I have just wonder why are so many members of Congress turning a deaf ear to this. I have no question in my mind Republicans had these crooked machines designed for the intent of cheating. They have been doing it the last several elections. They fully intend to do it again. Russ Holt's bill to have them made verifiable.
Right, paper trail.
They've blocked
that
like crazy. They fully intend to go on cheating. I mean, how else would goons like that end up in the White House? Anyway, do you have any thought on why more members aren't on a soapbox hollering this out all over the place?
Well, you know, again, with all due respect to those pioneers who really led the way and have just grabbed onto this relentlessly, and I thank you all for that, the fact that it got the kind of publicity that it did, I think has really been a wake-up call. I've talked to Rahm Emanuel about it. In fact, I was sitting next to him on the plane while he was reading the article in the Rolling Stone magazine and shaking his head, and so, you know, I think there suddenly has been this breakthrough where people are recognizing it. Now we have to follow it up with action, and people like me are going to really be pushing for it. But you know,
and tell us, Congresswoman, what you have asked Rahm Emanuel, who heads the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, to do in terms of activating Democrats to become poll watchers or other witnesses to the activities on Election Day.
Yeah, I'm my concern right now is that we have teams that go out well in advance of Election Day. I'm talking about right now to look at what the plans are for elections. I think it's really too late when it's happening on Election Day. We need to know, for example, that there's going to be enough voting machines in each precinct, not on Election Day, but well in advance.
Well, that's a very good point. Dave, do you have a follow-up?
Thank you so much, Congresswoman, and I really appreciate it, and I hope you will take a vigorous lead to get people awake to what a nightmare this is. This is our democracy at stake. Thank you.
Absolutely. Right. You know, we've got to push harder for on the Rush Holt bill, and we've got to work harder. I'm a co-sponsor also of the Count Every Vote Act of 2005, Stephanie Tubbs Jones of Ohio. But you know, it's hard to pass legislation, Democratic-sponsored legislation in the House. So we just have to take matters into our own hands and have these professional teams that are going on, starting now all the way through and past Election Day. You know,
yep.
You were talking about Francine Busby, et cetera. So
mm-hmm.
We have to keep going even when the votes are so-called counted.
I certainly agree. Congresswoman, I just want to extend to you my offer that anytime you'd like to come on this program to talk about these issues, we'll make time for you. I consider it, you know, fundamental and very critical to the future of our democracy and any hopes that we have of ending the one-party grip on rule in Washington.
Thanks so much, Peter.
I'd just like to point out two quick resources for you. I know that Brad Friedman of bradblog.com followed up with you after your speech last week, and I believe he interviewed you. He's a great activist on this issue. And the other thing I'd like to just refer for your edification is that we also believe there were serious problems with the referenda vote in Ohio in November of 2005. And to get full information on that, you can go to freepress.org, which is Harvey Wasserman's site in Columbus, Ohio. And it's just stunning, because the one issue that was backed by the Republicans passed within three-tenths of a point of the pre-election polling, and the other issues, which were redistricting, which were to reduce the amount of campaign money that any individual could contribute, some good government measures like that, they all went down by a wide disparity from the pre-election polling. And it has raised some of the same questions about the use of electronic machines for both the actual voting and for tabulation. And I would invite you to take a look at that.
Thank you. I will.
All right. Thanks for joining us, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Me too. Thanks. Bye.
That's Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, Democrat from Chicago, a real progressive. And I am just so gratified by her awareness of the issue and her willingness to apologize to people like Dave and Brad and Harvey in Columbus and little old me for not paying close attention to the issues that we have raised to date. This is very encouraging, friend. If you'd like to make a comment, we have a short segment coming up, and you're welcome to call 831-899-5792 or call me toll-free at 888-579-2540 here at the Peter B. Collins Show. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. This week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, don't miss our special guest, Glenn Plantone. He'll be telling us about the hottest areas to invest in. Glenn has just returned from his second trip to Costa Rica to tell us about some amazing property there. Can you say mucho gusto? That's this Sunday at 10 a.m. Now heard from Big Sur to Eureka, Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Listen online at rockrollinrealestate.com.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 25 minutes past the hour. Coming up in our next segment, we're going to meet Andrea Batista Schlesinger. She's executive director of the Drum Major Institute for Public Policy, and they have just completed a thorough analysis of the votes in the Congress and the Senate over the last few years, and they've issued a scorecard reflecting the matters of concern to the middle class in America. And it's a sorry picture. We'll tell you about that coming up. Also on today's show, AT&T has revised their privacy policies so that they can collaborate with the government. And no nasty court orders or NSA and a FISA court documents. Just, hey, the government asked for it. They're going to give it away. We'll talk with David Lazarus of the San Francisco Chronicle coming up next hour. Also, just a couple of items I wanted to mention to you. At truthout.org today, there's a very interesting article by Bob Geiger related to a bill that has been tabled in the Senate. It was an attempt to stop companies like Halliburton and others who've gotten these sweetheart contracts in Iraq and elsewhere from, you know, cheating and stealing, that sort of thing. Byron Dorgan of North Dakota introduced a Senate Amendment 4230, and it would have required, a cleanup of the process. And you would think that Republicans would say, well, maybe we're not excited about this, but it's too risky to oppose clean contracting. Oh, no. The Republicans in the Senate want to make everything safe for their corporate cronies, and by a 55-43 vote, they tabled the amendment, and you probably will never see it again. The president is on the road. He was in Vienna earlier today, and I believe he is going to spend his night in Budapest. But while in Vienna, he held a news conference and got some tough questions about the Iraq War and Guantanamo Bay. And one assertion from an Austrian vice chancellor was that the U.S. is the biggest threat to global security. And Bush said, oh, that's absurd. We'll defend ourselves, but we're actively working with our partners to spread peace and democracy. And also, according to Carolyn Kay, who runs an online blog, the president may have violated U.S. protocol while he was in Vienna because some of his buddies asked him to autograph an American flag. And when he did so, he broke the rules because you're not supposed to deface a flag. And you may be aware that in the United States Senate right now, there is a bill to prevent tampering with or burning the flag, defacing it in any manner. And, of course, we have great Americans like Dianne Feinstein and Hillary Rodham Clinton who are joining in on that jingoistic kind of nationalism BS. And somebody ought to just remind the president what the rules are so that we don't have to do that for him. We're going to take a quick break and return. And as we mentioned, our guest, Andrea Batista Schlesinger, will be joining us here in just a couple of minutes. Next hour, David Lazarus and Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. If you want to find out more about your humble host, go to PeterBCollins.com. That's a website with a picture and a biography and also links to our live daily stream and to the archives, which are held for us at the fine site WhiteRoseSociety.org. Podcasting available there, too. So we'll continue in just a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by More Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you personalities and interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and travel. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored by the Monterey Salinas Transit's Grapevine Express. The Grapevine Express runs weekends from the Aquarium to Carmel Valley. For more information, call toll-free 888-678-2781 or visit the web at mst.org.
Thirty-three minutes past the hour as we continue on today's edition of the Peter B. Collins Show.
As I was walking over the highway, I saw above me and in the skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for me. I roamed and rambled and followed my footsteps. Her diamond desert, and all around me a voice was calling. Yeah, this land was made for men.
No, actually, this land was made for white Christian millionaires. At least that's the impression you would get if you look at the way the Senate and the House vote on issues of importance to America's working middle class. And there's a new scorecard out that brings a sharp analysis to these issues, put out by the Drum Major Institute for Public Policy. We welcome its executive director, Andrea Batista Schlesinger, to our program today. Hello, Andrea.
Hey, thanks.
Nice to have you with us. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm reading your bio here, and it says that you have survived multiple appearances on the Lou Dobbs Show.
The last appearance, it was actually pretty close to not surviving.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure if it was me who wasn't going to survive or Lou. But definitely a difficult situation.
Yeah.
Somebody who's, you know, invites you in to talk about how the middle class is really impacted by immigration policy, but by the end, really there to lecture and to kind of to stir up a conversation that's more rooted in xenophobia than it is in economics.
Oh, indeed. And he is so obsessed with so-called amnesty that he really can't think straight, and sometimes it's kind of obvious watching him he can't quite see straight either.
You know, it's funny. The way I describe my relationship with Lou Dobbs is that we both have the same two, but we add 2 plus 2, and I get 4, and he gets this bizarre nativist, let me spend half of my show showing images of Mexicans risking their lives to cross the border to stir up a frenzy, when he should be showing video clips of, you know, of big business making a decision to exploit, you know, immigrant workers. So, you know, we have the same ingredients and the same understanding of the dynamics, the failure of NAFTA, you know, what happens when we outsource jobs. We have the same understanding of what goes into the equation. But unfortunately, after the equal sign, that's where we lose Lou.
Yeah, and I appreciate that he is passionate about things that he cares about, but he really isn't interested in honest debate on immigration, and I feel like, you know, they're going to name a vigilante group after him, the Lou Dobbs Minutemen Brigade.
Which is unfortunate, because I really think, and actually the reason that I was on his show last is I wrote him a letter in which I made the case that he plays such an important role in this immigration debate, because unfortunately the current debate is dictated by, you know, these kind of limited special interest perspectives. You've got the immigration advocates who do amazing work but are interested in ultimately their community. You've got big business, of course, give us as many workers as we can exploit. And then you've got the, you know, round them up on the horse groups. And there really is a vacuum when it comes to people who are willing to talk about what the interest is of those, you know, working Americans in the outcome of this immigration debate. And Lou really has the potential to lead that conversation.
Well, and do you think he's going to co-sponsor the Jimmy Sensenbrenner Roadshow this summer? They're going to go across the country and hold hearings to defend their Neanderthal position, the Sensenbrenner bill, which would criminalize the presence of virtually all undocumented individuals.
And it's strange because I don't actually think that Dobbs is sees things similarly to Sensenbrenner when it comes to pointing fingers at the right enemy. You know, I think Lou gets that it's big business and that's how you change immigration policy. But I can definitely see him, you know, doing this kind of duet because it's just easier to get your head around.
Yeah. Well, and one of the other things that really troubles me about the coverage of the immigration issues, they are complex. And there's this attempt to distill them into very simple black and white issues and to essentially blame Mexicans and Mexico for the bulk of our problems. Now, it's fair to say that many of the undocumented in this country are Mexican nationals. But in California, we have over 1 million, maybe 1.5 million illegal immigrants from Asia. There are in San Francisco hundreds of illegal Irish people who are here in this country. And we don't hear anything about white Europeans or Asians who are here in violation of our immigration statutes.
Sure. I mean, coming from New York, it's a similar dynamic. But I think what's missing in that conversation, and part of what we at the Drum Major Institute tried to bring to it, is how do we speak frankly about the critical role that illegal immigrants play in our economy? And talk about the need for immigration policy that's going to strengthen the workplace rights of everyone. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, immigration policy is going to fail if we have a permanent class of exploited workers. And unfortunately, thanks to the Lou Dobbs, they'll be pointing the fingers at those workers instead of at the businesses and the Congress that are allowing a policy of official exploitation.
Yeah, like the huge airlines that have simply said, we don't want to honor our pension commitments to employees of the last 30 or 40 years, like General Motors, saying, we're going to turn over our workforce because it's inconvenient for us to pay your health and pension benefits, and we're going to find some younger people who will work for less and for, you know, a much weaker benefit package. The real enemy is the, you know, the global corporations who are the employers whose, you know, greatest interest is keeping wages low. And to have the United Auto Workers, you know, angry at immigrants instead of at the management of Ford and GM really serves them well, doesn't it?
And it's ironic, of course, that we're talking about these bankruptcies as if they are inevitable at the same time. You know, Congress last year passing a bankruptcy act that makes it absolutely impossible for any middle-class person to start over. It's one of the ironies that we deal with in this conversation about how our economy has changed and who's bearing the burden of that change.
Andrea Batista Schlesinger, tell us about the Drum Major Institute. What's your focus?
Well, we don't give drum lessons. That's the first thing.
Do you have rhythm?
We do. We were founded initially during the Civil Rights Movement by lawyers and advisors to Dr. King, whom he would refer to as his think tank, helping think about how you do the political, the legislative, the communication strategy to build support for the movement. And today we are reborn as a next generation of think tanks, worried as much about who's reading our work as whether or not we've published it, and trying to advocate for an agenda that will resonate with the middle class as opposed to finding middle ground solutions, trying to get the middle class to understand that their interests are best represented in coalition in support of an agenda that supports economic justice.
And why is the middle class so quiet today? I really see the, you know, working families and middle-income people in this country have taken it on the chin repeatedly since Bush took office. And whether you're talking about the drag on wages, the increased health care costs that are increasingly borne directly by the worker, they used to be 100% paid by the employer, the increase in costs for tuition at public higher education institutions. See, here in California, tuition and fees have gone up dramatically over the last 3 years, while our Austrian-born action movie governor has been claiming, well, we haven't raised taxes. But the middle class has, you know, shared an increasing burden of the load, while taxes for the wealthy have been going down, in fact.
Yeah, I mean, under President Bush's tenure, public college tuition has gone up about 50%. So this is definitely a crisis. I don't know that the middle class has been silent. I think that they have expressed their frustration in poll after poll that shows them disillusioned with Congress and believing that both, you know, Congress and the White House do not have their interests at heart. I think the disconnect comes in understanding the relationship between the public policy decisions made by the White House and by Congress and their increasingly squeezed lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we do things like issue scorecards every year that specifically speak to the policies that Congress voted on that are of interest to, you know, the bottom line, to the kind of kitchen table concerns of those who are middle class or trying to work their way up.
Mm-hmm. And in creating this scorecard, you reviewed 2, 4, 6, 8 key votes in the Senate and the House over the past few years. And then you ranked the votes according to your sense of what is in the interests of the middle class. And then you assigned a percentage and converted that to a letter grade. So, for example, we touched on the bankruptcy law that makes it harder for average people who suffer a catastrophic setback or an illness that, you know, all of a sudden costs them $100,000. You gave an F to the Senate, a C to Senate Democrats, and an F to Senate Republicans. Now, that was an issue where far too many Democrats crossed over to vote with Republicans. 58% of Democrats voted in favor of the bankruptcy bill. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Am I reading that right?
58% of Senate Democrats voted against the interests of, or 58% rather, voted with the middle class, and which meant that too many didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we found in our scorecard, which actually just looks at 2005 votes, is that when it came to bills where there was strong industry support, Republicans for sure failed, but too many Democrats failed along with them.
And the bankruptcy bill was put forward by banks and credit card companies. And, for example, Joe Biden is the senator from Delaware, where a lot of the credit card companies are centered. And he was one of those who disappointed me by supporting this backward legislation.
Yeah, and too many did. And, you know, obviously, to many, the bankruptcy bill is kind of is old news. But to us, in looking at the results of the scorecard, the real danger is when there were bills of direct consequence to the energy industry, to the insurance industry, to the credit card industry, to the pharmaceutical industry, too many Democrats voted with Republicans in putting the interests of big business ahead of middle-class Americans. That trend does not bode well.
No, it certainly doesn't. We're going to take a break, Andrea, and then talk more about the scorecard, some of the other issues that you rated Congress on in view of the relationship to the interests of the middle class. If you have a question or comment for Andrea, she's with us for another segment. Get on the line now, 831-899-5792 from the Central Coast, or toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. My guest is Andrea Batista Schlesinger, Executive Director of the Drum Major Institute for Public Policy. Their website, drummajorinstitute.com. We'll continue in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley with Talking Matters. This Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540, we have a timely show about using and growing your intuition. World-famous author Sharon Frankamont and her daughter Megan will tell you just how to expand the way you intuit your life. This conversation and the good ideas will touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. Willis Harmon of Noetic Sciences said, "Intuition invites us into the center of our lives. Our show will invite you to go to your center. Hear Sharon's four simple steps for developing your intuition and the way Megan uses physical and emotional intuitive clues to make important decisions. Keep listening. We'll keep talking. My shows are archived on joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. Don't miss our program on Using and Growing Your Intuition on Talking Matters this Saturday at 3.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
In what ways are boys and girls different at birth, and how do nature and nurture contribute to a child's gendered experience of life? I'm Nurse Rona. Join us to discuss the social and cultural influences on gender and hear suggestions for fostering a healthy sense of self in children.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Tom Hartman.
And Hans Blix was saying, there's no threat there. In a week and a half before we invaded, Hans Blix and Mohammed Al-Bar and I were going to submit a report to the UN saying, there's no evidence of weapons of mass destruction here. We have found the proof that they actually destroyed them. And Bush knew that. That's why he had to invade as quickly as he did.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
It's not a war. It's a crime. Invading another country is a crime. Just like when Hitler invaded Poland, this is a crime.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're talking with Andrea Batista Schlesinger. She's Executive Director of the Drum Major Institute for Public Policy. You can read this scorecard for yourself at drummajorinstitute.com. They rated Congress on its recent votes, the 2005 session, related to middle-class interests. And Andrea, got to compliment you. Great website.
Thank you.
Yeah, really easy to read, easy to navigate, and a lot of powerful information here. Now, let's give people a few more snapshots here from the scorecard that you put together. Again, you took issues of importance to the middle class and then took a look at Democrats and Republicans in each house. How about energy policy, the 2005 bill that in the end Tom DeLay jammed an extra $1 billion for Halliburton and a few other Texas cronies? And let's see, we show there that the overall Senate grade there was an F. Senate Democrats got a D, and Senate Republicans got an F. Now, Andrea, the pattern I'm seeing here is it's not surprising to me that Republicans will get low grades, even failing grades, on issues of the middle class. But we see a decline, don't we, in the support of Democrats for middle class issues?
We see a decline overall from this scorecard, last year's scorecard to this year. And where we see the movement, the difference is in the bills that are sponsored by industry. And that this is an unfortunate trend. I mean, it's the same thing we saw with the bankruptcy legislation. It's the same thing we saw, with CAFTA. It's an unfortunate, direction that too many Democrats are moving into. It's not all Democrats, but it's enough Democrats to make a difference to decide whether legislation passes or legislation fails.
Mm-hmm. And what is your sense of what voters can do to send an important message to Democrats in Washington that we don't want to be taken for granted, and we do want them to vote the right way on issues particularly related to the middle class?
The unfortunate state of affairs that other than shows like yours, it is very difficult just through the press, of course, with newspaper readership at an all-time low, but even with too many newspapers giving the essentially functioning as a press operation of the White House, it's very difficult to get information about the decisions that legislators are actually making. There's a lot of information that talks about politics as if it's a game of kind of inside baseball, because that melodrama is very appealing, of course. But it's very difficult to get information about what people are actually voting on. The number one thing that anybody can do is make an informed decision before you get into the voting booth. One of the things that we did, if I may, with this scorecard, is we started a Google AdWords campaign so that for the next month, whenever anyone searches by Google for a member of Congress, mm-hmm. an ad will pop up with his or her grade on our scorecard.
Wow.
And you'll be able to link directly from that Google ad to a page that summarizes that person's votes and that enables you to learn more about each piece of legislation and see how others voted on it.
Is that active now? Can I try it?
It's active now. You can try it right now.
All right. I'm going to pull up a new window here.
Okay.
I'm going to go to G-O-O. All right. That's all I need.
Uh-huh.
And so let's say Dianne Feinstein.
Yes.
I misspelled her name, sorry. Okay, I got too many A's in Diane when I try to do this in a hurry. And she's got two N's in Diane. Got to get that right. Okay, here we go. I don't need to do I'm feeling lucky, just a regular Google search, right?
It should be a regular Google search.
Okay.
I am looking for her as well. I hope we don't have any technical difficulties on her.
Okay, well, what came up in the sponsored links is a plug for a public radio station in Southern California.
All right. Well, hold on a second.
All right. It worked for Matt, though, my producer. He's online, too.
Yeah. It worked for Matt.
Matt's telling me Feinstein got a C.
Okay. Yep.
I wonder why it didn't come up for me here.
Yeah, that's strange.
All right. Let's try.
We just launched it yesterday.
Okay.
So I don't know if there's any issues about that.
All right, I just entered Catherine Harris.
Uh-huh.
And let's see. Look at that. Image results. I get a Queen of Hearts. No, a Queen of Diamonds. Is that yours?
No. That's not our not our MO.
Then I get a Movie Phone sponsored link and an eBay link. So.
Okay. I get Catherine Harris got an F.
Mm-hmm. I'm not searching images, Matt, but I'm just doing a general search. So anyway, we don't need to get
is
bogged
Matt
down.
Is Matt getting the results?
Yeah, Matt's getting
the ads. Okay.
Yeah. And I used Explorer on a Mac. Maybe
right.
That's one of the issues.
I'll look into that. In the last 24, well, since we it went live yesterday, but we actually started it the evening, Monday evening, just to make sure. And in that time period, we've had, I think it's about 250,000 people have Googled their legislators and seen our ads.
Wow.
And does that mean somebody's going to click through, you know, just like with any advertisement? We don't know. But it's another way of presenting information to people who are out there who are interested in learning more about their representative.
I think this is terrific. What other tricks do you have up your digital sleeve there?
I can't give them all out. You know? I mean, look, you know, think tank couldn't, you really couldn't conjure up any drier image than, you know, when you come with the introduction that we're a think tank. But what we are trying to do is really innovate new ways of getting this think tank information out, because what it will ultimately come down to is, do people know who they're voting for? Do they know what those people are voting for, our representatives in Congress? And until we reestablish that link between the policymakers we elect and what they actually, decisions they're actually making and how that impacts our quality of life, we're not going to see any change in business as usual.
Andrea, does Drum Major have any kind of an affiliate that is not a 501c3 that can engage in activism?
We don't.
Mm-hmm.
And we view ourselves, and we have a lot of relationships with organizations that are out there on the ground, and we view ourselves as coming up with the information and the tools, and then it's up to other folks to use them. It's up to people to click on that ad. It's up to organizations to take the scorecard and give it out. And every year we do have shops that do that. We have unions who give it out to their political directors, chapter organizations that disseminate it, organizations whose sole mission is to cultivate new candidates, give it out to those folks. So, you know, we try hard to get it out. But, you know, we want to occupy that space of producing this information and letting others run with it.
And are some of those others, for example, Move On or AARP or Common Cause, groups with pretty large memberships?
We try, and we're in conversations with Move On. You know, some organizations, it's hard because, you know, you've got you have organizations that are engaged in their own lobbying. And sometimes it's not in their interest to align with an organization that's holding Democrats and Republicans equally accountable. And, you know, that's speaking up about, you know, how people voted on bills. You know, you take an AARP, they have differing opinions depending on the legislation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it may not be in their best interest to, you know, to make a point of disseminating this to their members. And then, you know, frankly, we're going to get flack. I mean, you know, Senator Obama, he gets a C on our scorecard. He voted the wrong way on class action. You know, I mean, this is, it's a difficult space to have a whole bunch, to make new friends, let's say.
And if you were interested in personal popularity, you'd probably be doing something else.
Probably.
Yeah. And what kind of feedback do you get? Does Obama's office call and say, how could you do this to us?
Not yet.
Yeah. Not yet.
Not yet.
Have any others complained?
Nobody's complained. We have had, you know, people who've gotten A's have been appreciative. But no angry calls.
Mm-hmm. And Andrea, tell us how you came to this work. I know you went to the University of Chicago.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was a kid, growing up in Brooklyn, the New York City Board of Education at that time created a position for students to sit on the board. And at that point, I realized kind of how valuable it was to have different voices in a policymaking setting.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been obsessed with that ever since. And this is, you know, hopefully a continuation of that work through DMI.
Well, I certainly sense that you're a fellow traveler burdened with too many opinions.
Well, but thankfully you invite me to be on the show, so
well,
I can express some of that.
And I'll invite you to come back. Thanks for joining us today.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Andrea Batista Schlesinger, she's executive director of the nonprofit called Drum Major Institute for Public Policy. Visit their website again, drummajorinstitute.com, and you can read this congressional scorecard for yourself. And it may surprise you, particularly the decline in Democratic support and advocacy for the middle class. Coming up next, We're going to take a look at AT&T's revised privacy policy that, essentially says we can give the government your records and you don't need to know about it, and we don't need a warrant either. We'll talk with San Francisco Chronicle business columnist David Lazarus next, right here.
This is Hal. We're just got about a half minute, and then we'll be going into the 4-5 o'clock news. Sorry about this. And we had some issues with the compression of the show, and it was compressed to slightly under the
program you've just
time
enjoyed is a previously recorded broadcast.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. Will there be a July 4th liftoff for the shuttle Discovery? Between the weather and the chunk of foam insulation that fell off the fuel tank, it's up in the air. Let's go live to CBS News correspondent Peter King.
Cammie, the weather is 60% go, but NASA's been looking for answers about the foam all day long.
No one has come to any conclusions yet.
That's apparently still the case because mission managers like John Shannon are still meeting just across the street from me. Foam from the shuttle's fuel tank.
The question's going to be, is that sufficient, or do I have to actually go put hands on it?
And if they have to do that, it would likely mean a delay of at least a day, maybe longer, but until there's a consensus.
What we decided to do was to continue with the plan that we were on.
That means pressing on until they find something that tells them to stop. We hope to know soon. Live at the Kennedy Space Center, Peter King, CBS News.
A former soldier appeared in court today. He's accused of being the ringleader and chief executioner in a rape-murder case in Iraq. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula has that.
21-year-old Stephen Green is being held here in North Carolina on rape and murder charges. The former Army Private First Class is accused of raping a young Iraqi woman, then fatally shooting her and several relatives. Green was in the 101st Airborne at the time, and more soldiers may be charged. He was recently discharged for, quote, a personality disorder.
Four other 101st Airborne soldiers are in custody in Iraq. Israel's facing a Tuesday deadline to release Palestinian prisoners, or a captured Israeli soldier may be killed. Israeli aircraft targeted a university in Gaza within the past few hours. The military says the university was a compound used by terror groups. The search for human remains resumes tomorrow near the World Trade Center site in New York. The search was suspended a couple of months ago because health officials said workers weren't protected from asbestos. They'll wear masks now. Hundreds of bone fragments were found on a roof of a nearby skyscraper. Does obesity cause depression, or is it the other way around? CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports researchers aren't sure, but they do think the two are connected.
If you are a well-educated, white, middle-aged American who is obese, beware of mood disorders. A study in the Archives of General Psychiatry paints that portrait of a person very much at risk of suffering from depression and anxiety. In general, the study says obese people are 25% more likely to have those problems.
Gas prices are up 6 cents in a week, and that may be changing our car buying habits. Stacy Tisdale reports.
High gas prices put the brakes on the auto sector last month. General Motors sales tanked nearly 26%. Ford's fell nearly 7%. Daimler Chrysler suffered a 13% slide. Automakers are suffering because they have invested so much into gas-guzzling SUVs as many consumers look to more fuel-efficient models.
It was a short trading day on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrials were up 77 points. The Nasdaq was higher by 18. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 877-33-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 877-33-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 877-33-GO-WIN. Call now.
He's facing a tough challenge in the primary, and now Democratic Senator Joseph Lieberman says if he loses, he'll try again on an independent ticket. Matt Dwyer of WTIC reports.
Senator Joe Lieberman's campaign will soon begin gathering signatures to petition the lawmaker onto the ballot in case he loses the Democratic primary.
If I am privileged to be reelected in November, I will remain a member of the Senate Democratic Caucus.
At least one poll shows Lieberman has more support among unaffiliated voters and Republicans than from his own party. At the same time, some Democrats are moving to Lieberman's anti-war challenger, Ned Lamont. Matt Dwyer, CBS News, Hartford, Connecticut.
Atlanta's Hartsfield and Chicago's O'Hare often trade off the title of busiest airport. That honor goes back to O'Hare. The FAA says it had 477,000 flights from January to June. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Dad, this is my boyfriend, Scott.
So, where are you from, Scott?
Seattle.
Any brothers, sisters?
One brother.
How's your driving record?
Good.
Ever been arrested?
Huh?
Serve in the military?
Sir?
Do you have any diseases?
Dad!
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Any sports injuries?
No.
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Hey, let's go to my house for an Ovaltine milkshake.
I love chocolate Ovaltine shakes.
Let's go!
Isn't it snack time for the kids?
Let's make them Ovaltine milkshakes.
I'll get out the ice cream and milk.
And I'll get the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Hey, this is Mama's making Ovaltine shakes.
Yes, I love her Ovaltine shakes.
Yeah!
Now I'll add the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
And I'll get the glasses.
Mom, we're home!
Who wants an Ovaltine shake?
I do!
I guess we better make more.
More Ovaltine shakes, please!
You're listening to KRXA 540.
The following program has been previously recorded.
Peter B. Collins!
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unscripted, and unrehearsed. Get ready for Progressive Talk Radio. Here I come. That's a remake of the old Rare Earth song from Al Kooper. Took a super session to get this. On the Peter B. Collins program today, next hour, we'll spend it with Scott Dick, retired from the Army as a major. He's our contributor on military and veterans affairs. We've got a long list of things to talk about. More action in Afghanistan. There have actually been more air raids over Afghanistan in the last 5 months than we have launched over Iraq. We're also going to talk about the various reports of atrocities by and to American forces in Iraq and the Senate debate this week over the future policies for Iraq. Also on our program, we'll get an update on the budget deadlock in Sacramento from California Assembly Budget Chair John Laird. He'll be with us at the top of our third hour. And more from Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. He even got Roger Hedgecock, who is a conservative talk show host in San Diego, to acknowledge that District 50, the Bill Bray Busby race, the outcome cannot be trusted. We'll talk about that and a lot of other e-voting issues, including the remarkable comments on this program on Wednesday from Democratic Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, apologizing to those of us who continue to raise questions about the stolen election in Ohio in 2004 and vowing to actually do something about it in the future. So that's what we'll take up with Brad in our third hour today. You're always welcome to join us with a question or comment whenever the urge strikes you. That's why we have phone lines here. 831-899-5792 works on the Central Coast. And you can call us toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. Drop me an email whenever you like, peter@peterbcollins.com. I always appreciate hearing comments, good or bad, and people share information with me, and it's one of the things that makes this program so valuable. So feel free to drop me a line or send me info, peter@peterbcollins.com. We welcome back this hour to our program investigative reporter Robert Parry. He worked for AP, Newsweek, and Frontline, and now is the proprietor of ConsortiumNews.com. His most recent book is called Secrecy and Privilege, Rise of the Bush Dynasty from Watergate to Iraq. And Bob Parry's under the weather a little bit today. Thanks for joining us despite that, Bob.
Well, thank you, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure, and you're in the Eastern time zone. It's after cocktail hour, and if you want to medicate with a little scotch on the rocks, I will not object.
I've heard that works, but I haven't really tried it.
Okay, well, try it when you like. It works for me. I asked you on the program today for a couple of reasons, because some of your recent posts really caught my attention, and I'd like to discuss them with you. But I want to credit a listener named Paula Kay in Eureka, Arcata, who has been in touch with me, and she's the one who alerted me to your rather dire financial situation at Consortium News. And it looks like, for the moment, you've been able to raise enough money to keep the servers up and keep the phones running. But I want to let people know that before the end of this hour, we are going to pause for a non-NPR pledge break and see if we can draw a little attention and get people to help support your good work at ConsortiumNews.com.
Well, thank you, Peter. That's very nice.
And I do take it from the latest posting on the website that you did get some donations over the last week or so that are going to help you along.
Right. I mean, I think the main thing has been that there's been a failure over the years, I think, among some of the people with substantial money on the more progressive side to understand the importance of media.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you do and some others of us who are involved with media understand that it's a crucial way to reach the American people with information that they have to have if the democracy is going to work. And it's sort of taken for granted, I think, by many on the progressive side that's going to happen. They expect the journalists to do their jobs and somehow the outlets to do their jobs and get the information out. In some ways, they don't trust that, but they sort of seem to leave it without being involved in it. Mm-hmm. The conservatives took a very different point of view, going back from Watergate and the time when Nixon was forced from office and when the Vietnam War went badly and when the U.S. pulled out and there were the Pentagon Papers exposing the reality behind it. The conservatives took a very proactive position, which was they were going to build up media to get their message out, get their version of information out very aggressively to the American people.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw building up over the next quarter century, really, this huge infrastructure they've put together, which goes from, you know, magazines and newspapers and books to radio, TV, and very well-funded internet sites. So
and think tanks and phony think tanks like the one in Washington, the Competitive Enterprise Institute, that fronts for the oil, gas, and other resource extracting industries and denies global warming.
Right, and they also have groups that are specially designed to attack honest reporters. They have groups like Accuracy in Media, which have been around for a while and got better funded during the 70s and 80s. And I was with, you know, I'm just a reporter, really, when you come down to it. I was with AP and Newsweek. I was an investigative reporter. I did many of the stories that later became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw how this was taking shape and how when you got to very sensitive points, issues that were a great concern to the conservative, to the Reagan-Bush crowd, they would target individual reporters to essentially try to discredit them and shut them up.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, it worked. Reporters learned that they did not want to risk their careers. So we started Consortium News 10 years ago in 1995 with the idea that there must be a better way to do this, to get good information to the American people on important topics. In the mid-90s, there was all this stuff about O.J. Simpson or people's sex lives. It was just a crazy media environment, and I thought there needed to be a place to create sort of a narrative, an honest narrative for the American people of how, of what happened to us during the Cold War, how it changed us, and now how what was happening to us in the post-Cold War period and how that was carrying over.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the goal, really. And we built up a staff. I basically cashed out my Newsweek retirement fund to do it.
Okay.
And we went ahead and built up this little website, which really had some success. We had reporters in South America and in Eastern Europe, as well as in the United States. And we began piecing together important chapters of our history on the Internet, using it in that way. So, but we've always had this trouble of trying to get additional support for that work. Even though we have a very tight budget and we make every penny count,
mm-hmm.
you do need some money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to, like I say, we're going to talk about a few stories, and later this hour I'll spend a minute or two and drive people to your website and shame them into making a contribution. Now, parallel to what you just described, you have a post that went up on June 21st, which analyzes the posture of the Washington Post and its hostility to those who raise honest questions about the war in Iraq.
Right.
And I think that it's interesting to parallel that with the development of some progressive voices, but even combined, we don't carry the weight that the Washington Post does. And, of course, we looked at Watergate and earlier episodes when the Post distinguished itself, but those days are history, and they've gone well beyond resting on those laurels.
Right. The Washington Post has been living off the Watergate scandal for more than a quarter century now. Well, I guess more than, 30 years now. It's and it's been that long since the Washington Post was the scrappy paper that it won the reputation of being. It was never really quite that idyllic as you would see it in All the President's Men. It wasn't
right.
that tough or fierce. But it did have that element to it and did pretty good work there. But what's happened since, and I was part of that company when I was at Newsweek, so I saw some of this inside. There was a sort of drift toward a more neoconservative position inside the news organization.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw this with, and even it was inside the family. Katherine Graham did not really want to have another Watergate. When we got to Iran-Contra, there was real hesitancy to go very far with it. There was real, you know, I was basically hired because I've been doing Iran-Contra, but then I encountered this resistance, and it was somewhat that they just didn't want to go through that difficulty anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it was partly an ideological affinity with the Reagan-Bush administration on issues, on foreign policy issues. So you had a combination, and then after Donnie Graham, her son, took over, he moved even more in that direction.
Yeah, we need to take a break, Bob Perry. We'll continue in just a moment. We'll enumerate for people some of the commentary coming from the Washington Post editorial pages, particularly in recent weeks. And you're welcome to join our conversation with Robert Perry from ConsortiumNews.com. Get on the line if you'd like to join us, 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, or toll-free 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello. This is Al Moore with Moore Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by Moore Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to MooreImports.com. That's M-O-H-R Imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years. and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. This week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, don't miss our special guest, Glenn Plantone. He'll be telling us about the hottest areas to invest in. Glenn has just returned from his second trip to Costa Rica to tell us about some amazing property there. Can you say mucho gusto? That's this Sunday at 10 a.m. Now heard from Big Sur to Eureka. Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Listen online at rockrollinrealestate.com. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Minutes past the hour, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. Joe Foreman is at the controls today, and you're invited to join us. Robert Perry with us for this entire hour. Lines available, 831-899-5792 or toll free, 888-579-2540. And Bob Perry, in perusing your website, I noted that you've done some work over the years with Norman Solomon. He's a frequent contributor and a friend of our program, and he was on with us just the other day.
Right, Norman's a good guy.
Yeah, he sure is. Now, back to the Washington Post, and in particular, their recent editorial commentary. And I want to go specifically to the quote that you cited from June 17th. And this followed the contentious debate in the House over the what I would call a jaundiced resolution framed by the Republicans as a way to try to provoke or entrap Democrats into a vote they didn't want to make. And following that debate, the Washington Post editorialized like this. Many Democrats looking to exploit bad news without appearing to rejoice in it, demagogued about presidential lies, and lies is in quotes, obtusely denied any relationship between Iraq and the war on terrorism, and called for troop withdrawal without honestly facing the consequences of such a move. And Bob Perry, as you note, using the word demagogue to attack those who accuse the president of lying just really sets a cycle of neener, 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 and of course doesn't acknowledge the truth, which is that Bush has repeatedly lied to the American people, and the American people largely know it.
Right. It seems like it's an official reality in Washington that that George Bush never lied about Iraq. It's almost like what you have to say. conventional wisdom, if you will, but it's wrong. It's not true, and they keep using this. There has been the argument, of course, you hear it from Secretary Rumsfeld and others, that that Bush didn't lie, and they cite the WMD evidence. They say, well, he believed in that, even though it turned out to be wrong. And I think there's a real good case to be made that he lied about the WMD evidence or didn't care what the truth was. But we have gone back repeatedly now and said, but there are a number of other clearer cases where he has lied about things he knew directly about regarding Iraq. And in one of the cases I've cited is that in the summer of 2003, he began claiming that Saddam Hussein had not allowed the UN inspectors in to look for WMD, which is simply not true, and Bush knew it wasn't true. But he apparently trusted that he trusted the timidity of the Washington press corps and I guess the weak memories of the American people that he could get away with it.
Well,
he began saying this and has said it over and over and over again up to the present.
Let's briefly cite the truth of the matter so that our conservative listeners who, you know, often attack me for just claiming that the president has lied, the truth regarding that issue is?
Well, the truth is that in the fall of 2002, UN inspectors were allowed to go into Iraq, headed by Hans Blix. And we all knew about this. We wrote about it at the time. We watched it. Some of the conservatives made fun of it, but it was there. And the inspectors went to sites that had been pointed out as possible WMD hiding places, and they checked them out and found nothing. And they reported increasingly good cooperation with the Iraqis. And by March, they were saying they were allowed to go anywhere they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they got closer to mid-March, Bush insisted that they leave.
Right.
And obviously the reason was he was intending to invade. And so he forced them out. He personally forced them out. Now, for him then to say 3 months later in July of 2003 that Saddam didn't let the inspectors in and then repeat this charge in varying ways for the next 3 years is simply not true. And I'm not sure what a lie is if someone who has been directly involved with something says it the way it isn't. I mean, I think it becomes clear, and you go through, there are a number of cases in the article, we go back through a variety of points where Bush has said things that don't square with the truth at all.
Mm-hmm.
He said, for instance, that he considered war a last resort. He did not consider war a last resort. We now have the documents from England showing that he was planning on this much, much earlier than we had understood,
right,
and that he was determined to do it.
Mm-hmm. There's an interesting, I think it was General Pace was trying to defend Rumsfeld. This is about 6 weeks ago when the retired generals came out one by one calling for Rumsfeld's resignation.
Right.
And Pace was defending Rumsfeld and kind of questioning Tommy Franks' credibility, saying that if Franks really wanted more troops, all he had to do was say so. And in telling that story, he said, you know, Tommy Franks had 2 years to tell us what the troop levels were needed. And so when you back time that 2 years from our invasion of 2003, that supports Paul O'Neill's contention that they were planning to invade Iraq as early as the spring of 2001.
Oh, right. I mean, Treasury Secretary O'Neill and others, and Richard Clark, another one, the former counterterrorism chief, they've made it clear that this was an intent, this was a desire that the administration had, that they did not, that whatever their reasoning was, I'm not sure we really know exactly what their full thinking was, but whatever it was, they were going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had to just line up the facts, as the Downing Street memo said, as the head of British intelligence, Richard Dearlove, said, they were making the intelligence fit the evidence.
Right, fixing it around the policy.
Fixing it around the policy.
And you cite most recently March 21st in response to the peppering questions of Helen Thomas. The president said, well, I was hoping to solve this, the Iraq problem, diplomatically. And, of course, he repeats the lie that and when Saddam chose to deny the inspectors when he chose not to disclose, then I had the difficult decision to make to remove him. Well, we know that that doesn't square with the contemporaneous accounts, including Sir David Manning, and who was Tony Blair's right-hand man, who reports the January 31st meeting, 2003, in Washington, Bush and Blair. And Bush is speculating about how they could produce a more compelling cause of war. And he says, well, why don't we just paint a plane with UN colors and shoot it down and blame the Iraqis? And so I think that speaks volumes to the truth. And when we return in the next segment, I want to talk a little bit about the Senate debate this past week and why, once again, the media continues to report the Republican talking points as true and accurate and basically denigrates those who call it into question. We'll continue in just a moment with journalist Robert Perry. Visit his website, consortiumnews.com, and donate if you can. He needs your help to keep doing the great work he does. We'll continue in just a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyer, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction.
Weapons of mass destruction.
A clear threat.
to the United States.
And there's dozens of ballistic missiles.
It is sponsored and sheltered terrorists.
Paying suicide bombers.
Chemical weapons are equally charged.
Biological weapons, including anthrax and botulism toxins.
Biological and chemical agent to kill millions of people.
Chemical weapons, including VX and sarin, mustard gas.
To a massive and sudden horror.
Massive death and destruction.
Death on a massive scale.
A little music from the 80s, back during the Iran-Contra era. That's the Psychedelic Furs called President Gas. Kind of applies today. We continue with Robert Perry, the investigative reporter, whose website is a great resource, consortiumnews.com. And, Bob, just before the break, we were enumerating some of the failings of the Washington Post. But in the larger sense, we do have a lapdog media in this country that clearly responds to the Republican intimidation. And as we saw the debate this week unfold in the Senate, and it's encouraging that 39 votes were available for the watered-down Levin resolution, you know, and some Democrats like Evan Bayh and Hillary Rodham Clinton actually voted for a plan to get out of Iraq. At the same time, we saw a lot of negative reporting about the differences among Democrats and very little that scrutinized the remarkable demagoguery of Republicans.
Well, I think you know basically the progressive community is not going to get a fair shake from the mainstream press at this point.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen this go on now for a long time. If you go through the Clinton-Gore era, many of the harshest attacks on Clinton came from the Washington Post and the New York Times. I know folks in those organizations, and their thinking was, they were going to prove once and for all they weren't the liberal media. They've been hounded with that liberal tag for a long time, and they wanted to show they weren't liberal. And people have actually said to me, we were going to show we'd be tougher on any Democrat than a Republican. And there's nothing wrong with being tough on a Democrat, but you shouldn't approach it that you're going to be tougher on a Democrat than a Republican just to sort of show something. You're supposed to be even-handed. That's the idea of journalism. But that's the kind of mindset that had taken over Washington. And then when we get back to the, you know, and of course during Reagan Bush, there was sort of a much softer view, and then it got really tough and aggressive during Clinton Gore. And then when we get to the new Bush administration, we're back to the soft, you know, whatever you say goes kind of approach. And it got worse, of course, after September 11th, when the press just basically began fawning. There was almost a fear in the journalistic community that Americans would see reporters as unpatriotic, so you better even wave the flag stronger than anyone else would.
Yeah.
So you had this sort of tendency, and I think that's carried over now, even despite the recognition that the WMDs didn't exist, that these were a bunch of lies that had got us in here, and that this war is kind of an endless mess. There's still this feeling of you've got to give the Republicans the advantage. You've got to bend over backwards in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're harsher on the Democrats, and they look for ways to write those stories. You know, Democrats divided, Republicans united, and it's not really based on what's really most important, which is that we're engaged in a policy where 2,500 American soldiers have died, tens of thousands of Iraqis have died. This was a war that didn't have to be fought. It was
a war. The Republican unity is the unity of lemmings.
And also there's not the sense, there's very little proportionality in Washington. And proportionality in the sense of how does this really, you know, is there a way to sort of describe how this really fits into the bigger picture? If you want to have, the simple fact is that all the kinds of scare tactics that we've seen from Bush and Cheney, they're about how if we don't get in here and kill all these folks, they're going to spread this empire from Spain to Indonesia, they say. Cheney said it yesterday on the CNN interview with John King. And this is a fantasy. The reality is that the Al-Qaeda wanted the United States to react to the 9/11 attacks. They felt that if the United States came after them in a clumsy way, that it would help them. They could help build their movement. They had been, here was a group that had been chased to literally the ends of the earth. They were hiding in the mountains of Afghanistan. And they were not going to have some kind of caliphate from Morocco or in Spain to Indonesia. These were guys hiding out. They'd been driven out of all their countries by their own governments. They were all exiles. And Iraq for them was heaven sent.
Yeah.
And the longer we stay there and continue this, the deeper the bitterness, the easier it is for them to recruit. This is not working. And if you talk to any of the intelligence people who are really serious about this, they will say it's not working in a good way for the United States.
Well, and Bob Bush used the word crusade and then dispatched Christian American soldiers to Islamic soil. That's exactly what Osama wanted to suck us into. Maybe
right.
Not specifically Iraq, but he certainly wanted to see us invade a Middle Eastern country so that he could then rally the Islamic populations around these infidels who have invaded their holy lands.
One thing we point out at Consortium News is that if you look at the so-called Zawahiri letter, Zawahiri, of course, is bin Laden's second in command.
Right.
And there was a letter he sent to Zarqawi, supposedly,
mm-hmm.
and was intercepted by the United States. And in it, I mean, there have been parts of this that have been cherry-picked for reasons that the administration has wanted to use. But if you read the actual letter, these guys are terrified that Americans will withdraw. Because if Americans withdraw from Iraq, it will set back their program. They feel it's important that the United States stay there because then they can build up their forces and become more an integral part of the Iraqi opposition. They say if the Americans leave suddenly, we will be in a bad fix. Many of our soldiers will want to just lay down their arms and go home. And they come up with this idea of a caliphate to promise them that, but even that caliphate they're talking about is just in the area around Iraq, in the so-called Levant section near the Mediterranean. It's not this grand thing that Bush likes to talk about. So even the intelligence we have is that these guys really want us there, because as long as we're there, they are magnified in importance. It's kind of a symbiotic relationship between Bush and bin Laden.
And you can imagine bin Laden and Zawahiri, in the comfort of their cave with the satellite TV, rooting on the Republicans in the Senate as they say, stay the course. Yeah, that's what we want. That's the Al-Qaeda way. Let's
it's
take a
like
caller here. Ben and Salinas, join us. You're on the air with Peter B. and Robert Parry.
Yes, I'm chomping at the bit to get this question out. Considering the war profiteering and the lies under which we're laboring to be there in this so-called sovereign country, according to Mr. Nuclear and the White House there,
mm-hmm.
when you consider all that, what's going to happen when this sovereign country's judicial government declare, when they acquit Saddam Hussein under their laws? Let's say because they can't, the lawyers are getting knocked off, they can't protect their officials. So what's going to happen, and whether it's by fear or some backroom dealing like the Iran-Contra where a bunch of pardons are waiting, what's going to happen when the Iraqi government, the people in power that we've put in power, the puppets,
mm-hmm.
when they acquit this guy, what's going to be the fallout and the outcome? I'm curious
for you guys
to consider that.
What do you think?
I don't think anyone expects that Saddam will be acquitted.
Can you say O.J.?
Pardon? Well, we're not living in that kind of a situation here. This is not a place where you have a real jury that evaluates things, and it's not like the American or English system.
It doesn't appear that there are any appeals possible once the court rules, too.
Well,
right. This is being set up to execute him, but there is the big question of this idea, this bloodlust. Other equally unsavory dictators have been sent to The Hague, where they are tried and their crimes are laid out in more dispassionate way, but President Bush wanted Saddam Hussein killed,
mm-hmm.
and so that's why he was prosecuted in Iraq, despite the fact that this has been a circus of a trial.
Yeah, and Bremer instituted a death penalty in Iraq so that he can be killed there.
Okay, well let's just wait and see how the parade washes out. And once again, in November, if we don't get rid of those rigged voting machines, we can kiss it goodbye. That's the bottom line to me.
All right, Ben, thanks a lot. Thank you, Ben, do you have an extra $20 you could send to consortiumnews.com?
It's all right. Don't.
No, I'm doing my part here.
I very much appreciate it. When I did that article that Peter's talking about, I get a lot of $10, $20 donations. It was very sweet. It was extremely touching. As I'm a professional journalist, and often we are a bit removed from our readers. We just think they're out there. But it was very sweet not only to get people giving small donations, but with the emails they would send with them, it was quite moving.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ben, I won't put the finger on you long distance here, but I just want to mention to any of our listeners, if you've got an extra $20 or maybe even more, you've had a good week or you're in the middle of a good year, feel free to go online to consortiumnews.com. There's a donate button at the top of the homepage, and you can either use your credit card or there's a mailing address there where you can send some cash along and help keep this fine effort underway. All right. Thank you, Ben. Thanks for your call. We're going to take a quick break and return. If you'd like to talk with Bob Perry, he's with us for one more segment, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. When we return, I want to talk about a recent article that Bob wrote connecting the Bush family with the Reverend Sung Myung Moon and the Unification Church. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
In what ways are boys and girls different at birth, and how do nature and nurture contribute to a child's gendered experience of life? I'm Nurse Rona. Join us to discuss the social and cultural influences on gender and hear suggestions for fostering a healthy sense of self in children.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
That I really believe that pagan and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of that, who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you help this happen.
I totally concur. And the problem is we have adopted that agenda at the highest levels of our government.
Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
It is useless to resist us.
12 minutes before the hour, as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show with investigative reporter Robert Parry, P-A-R-R-Y. Visit his website, consortiumnews.com, where you can read his thoughtful pieces about some of the issues we're discussing this hour. And, Bob, next I wanted to turn to Reverend Moon, the Unification Church, the Washington Times, and their linkage to the Bush family. There's some very interesting connections, and they continue to the present.
Right. The Sun Myung-moon was this theocrat from Korea who was really working with Korean intelligence back in the 1970s as part of an effort that became known as Koreagate in the United States. It was an effort to buy influence in the U.S. political process, to get mm-hmm. buy influence in Congress, to buy influence in the media and in academia. This was basically the U.S. government intercepted their plans, and this was exposed in these hearings. They were held in the House of Representatives in the late 1970s. Now, what happened was that the information about the secret money flows that were coming in to fund Moon's operations, which were known domestically here as a cult, he would sort of brainwash young people into following him. He had rather bizarre religious views.
Let me just break in for a second.
Sure.
I moved to California 30 years ago this summer, and in the 1970s, the Moonies were on the streets recruiting wayward kids, homeless people, runaway types, and they had a ranch in Sonoma County about an hour north of San Francisco where they used to send these people for what many people termed brainwashing. It was a heavy form of indoctrination, and then these people would reappear on the streets of San Francisco selling flowers and, of course, giving all the proceeds to the Unification Church. It was indeed a cult.
Oh, yeah, it was very cult-like. And the but there was always another side to it. There was a political criminal side to this. The Moon operation was a money laundering operation, and they were bringing money in from Asia and then later from South America into the United States to help fund not just their religious activities but also political activities. They were determined to make themselves very useful to the Republican Party, and so after Moon got in trouble with Koreagate, those allegations then wound their way through our justice system, and in 1982 he was prosecuted for tax fraud, but it came out of these cash flows. And the Reagan-Bush administration tried to stop the prosecution, but it was being handled by professional prosecutors in New York, so went ahead, and so Moon was prosecuted, convicted, and imprisoned. About the same time, in 1982, with vast sums of money, he opened up the Washington Times,
right,
which became a very important right-wing propaganda apparatus in Washington. It would put out some of the ugliest attacks on people. It would spread some of the themes that would then be picked up by the Republicans, and it was relied on heavily as the years went on by Reagan and Bush. Reagan called it his favorite paper. Bush made similar comments when he was president, how valuable it was. And it was used essentially to go after their opponents. For instance, when in the Dukakis race in 88, the Washington Times put out false information about Michael Dukakis' mental health, which mm-hmm. was used to discredit Dukakis. In 92, they were spreading stories about Bill Clinton being a KGB agent. It was, some of the stuff was kind of ludicrous, but it was being put out into the political process and raising doubts, starting these kinds of little firestorms among the conservative activists. So that went on, and after Bush lost in 92, Bush Sr., that is, he went to work essentially for Reverend Moon. He gave speeches with very large fees attached, he and Barbara Bush both. They never said how much they got, but when I was investigating this in the mid-1990s, people from inside the church, the Unification Church, who had defected, were saying that they had earmarked about $10 million to pay off ex-President Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And in one case, they were having trouble in Argentina. They were starting a paper like the Washington Times in the mid-1990s, and they were being attacked by some of the South American news organizations for their drug ties and for where they'd worked with some of the drug lords down there, as well as with some of the right-wing military governments. And it was George Bush Sr. who flies in to give the keynote address at this gala inaugural for the new newspaper. And that's where he says, with Moon present, you know, Reverend Moon is the man with the vision.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bushes have always been very tight with the Moon's people because they provided money. They helped fund a number of the conservative operations, including helping Viguerie with his direct mail, helping Falwell when Falwell was having trouble with Liberty University. He would step in and be the angel to provide money to groups that were having, right-wing groups that were having financial trouble.
And one of Reverend Moon's top lieutenants, Bo-hee Pak, was a colonel in the KCIA, the South Korean Intelligence Agency. And I've always been uncomfortable because it's not clear where the original Moon fortune came from and if he's just a front for the South Korean government. You also point out that the Washington Times Foundation has given $1 million to a foundation in Houston that apparently laundered the money Tom DeLay style so that it could go into the George H.W. Bush Presidential Library Fund.
Right. This is just the latest aspect of Moon being the benefactor for the Bushes. And he's done this before, and he used a similar technique when he was helping out Falwell back in the early 90s when Liberty University, Falwell's university, was having financial trouble. They couldn't pay their debt. And Moon, and I was able to trace this through IRS records, Moon put $3.5 million into a nonprofit, which then turned around and bought up at a fraction of the face value, the debt for Liberty University, to prevent it from being foreclosed upon. So this is a technique that Moon uses, and it obviously builds a great deal of sympathy. But the key thing I've pointed out is that it also allows his criminal enterprises to go forward. There's been a lot of evidence, including statements by his daughter-in-law when she left the Moon cult, about their money laundering and how it's done. And it's, in some of it's rather crude, but Moon has never stopped this. He's never stopped bringing in money illegally from overseas. We don't know where it comes from, although he's had ties to organized crime both in Asia and South America. He has brought in huge sums of money, and he's poured it into the American political process.
And all that money came from selling flowers on the street, right?
Well, no, it didn't. One thing I found out when I was doing this reporting on this some years ago, and I talked to a number of people who were in the church, who've been involved, most of those small deals, like the selling of trinkets, there were some scams they'd run at malls. They'd set up some kiosk and they'd sell some light thing that looked kind of cute, but they'd put a when you buy the light, you get a cheaper light, so they'd show you one thing and you sell you another. There are all these little scams they would pull. But that money was really to pay for their local operations. It didn't really go back to the bigger process. The bigger operations, the money-dependent ones, like the Washington Times, which costs probably they probably lose $100 or $200 million a year sometimes on this thing. So those operations require money coming in to keep them going. Moon said that after one decade, he'd lost $1 billion on the Washington Times.
We're talking with Robert Perry here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Just about 2 minutes remaining, Robert, and I wanted to switch to a piece that you wrote just after the California primary on June 7th. You posted it, and it's called Why Democrats Lose. Later in our program, we're going to talk about the continuing controversy over the election itself, but you took a look at the politics and the way Democrats run races. Talk a little bit about that and the strong reaction you got from readers.
Well, you know, first, I think obviously it's crucial that elections be done honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's reprehensible. We've written a lot about the both in 2000 and 2004, how those elections were tampered with, and how anyone who tries to block voters from going to the polls in any way is acting in a very un-American way. But there's also the need to counter what the conservatives try to do with their media, that this media imbalance allows them to get very aggressive messages into play against the Democrats. So if a Democrat makes a misstatement, as happened with Busby, where she stumbled over her words on something about immigration,
mm-hmm.
they're able to exploit that and use it aggressively against that candidate, almost to disqualify the candidate. And that is their plan. I was talking to one of the top oppo people for the Republicans a few weeks ago, just before that election,
mm-hmm.
and he was describing their plans. He said, we have this now wired electronically, so we can just If we get the Democrats to take a bad vote in Congress, which they've been doing, as you know, in the last couple of weeks, they've been putting all these very emotional votes before the Congress.
Booby traps, get, yes.
And then they zap them to these local radio stations, local newspapers, their friendly editors, and they make sure that becomes the issue. So even before the Democrat gets a chance to respond, mm-hmm. that's the buzz all across his district.
Right, the buzz for Busby. We've got to stop there, Robert, but thank you for joining us. Hope you feel much better. And
thank
I hope
you.
Some of our listeners will contribute at consortiumnews.com. We'll talk again soon. Thank you, sir. All right, that's this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Visit us at peterbcollins.com.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, montereylimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports, including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or Monterey Limit.
The program you have just enjoyed is a previously recorded broadcast.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. It's a go for the Space Shuttle Discovery launch tomorrow, despite a piece of foam insulation that broke away from the fuel tank. CBS News correspondent Peter King joins us live from the Kennedy Space Center.
Cammie, NASA managers have just concluded that more foam from that area won't break off and damage the shuttle's heat shield after launch. CBS News analyst, former astronaut Jim Voss says they didn't have to lift engineers to the hard-to-reach spot on the shuttle's fuel tank.
They found a clever way to look at it instead by using a long boom with a camera on the end, kind of a borescope on a stick, and they got a really close look at it. They decided that there was not further damage to this area.
So NASA will press on and hope to launch its first shuttle mission in almost a year tomorrow afternoon. Live at the Kennedy Space Center, Peter King, CBS News.
A former soldier, Stephen Green, is being held without bond in North Carolina, accused of raping an Iraqi woman and killing her and three of her relatives. CBS News correspondent Jim Stewart reports.
According to investigators, the incident took place near a U.S. manned checkpoint outside the village of Mahmoud, an area of heavy fighting. Green and three other soldiers allegedly entered a private house after a night of drinking. While the others held a 25-year-old Iraqi woman in the front room, Green took an Iraqi man, a woman, and 5-year-old girl into a back bedroom and closed the door. Shots were fired. "I just killed them. All are dead," Green allegedly told his buddies. Green then allegedly raped the younger Iraqi woman before shooting her at least twice in the head and setting fire to the body.
Green was recently discharged because of a personality disorder. It's a political cliffhanger in Mexico where both candidates in yesterday's presidential election claim they won. So beginning tomorrow, all of the votes will be recounted by hand. CBS News reporter Adrian Bard has more from Mexico City.
Depending on who you asked, it was either a great day for democracy or more of the election fraud, once the standard here.
Por ese cambio, hoy está el señor Fox.
84-year-old Mario Casasola believes President Fox had something to do with it.
Mete la mano antes de las elecciones.
Gabriel Rio says not so.
I think this is a good progress for our democracy, and I think that more people came out to vote.
The narrow margin between two candidates has led to a recount. Adrian Bard, CBS News, Mexico City.
Gas prices are up more than